Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are glad to have you. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, thanks for being here.
This podcast, the host is myself, Kurt Geyer.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
The rest of the boys are out, some personal things, handling some family stuff. Let's get to some business, some updates, some news. The Ohio Deer Classic, the Open Season Sportsman Expo, whatever you want to call it, that's in Columbus, Ohio. It was like the 19th, 20th, and 21st of March. That has been moved. So, well, it's the same place, but it's been postponed like August. What is it?
July
30th through August 1st. Unfortunately, that does not work for the working class bow hunter schedule. So we are backing out of that move for the Ohio show. We have a lot of stuff going on in that time frame, personal conflicts, and we're also getting ready to go on some hunts in like a couple of weeks. And that'll unfold. So sorry, Ohio. I will tell you, we are planning on doing an HHA sight and stabilizer kit giveaway for each trade show. That includes Iowa, Wisconsin, and Ohio. We still plan on doing that giveaway and doing the exclusive Ohio show merch and selling it on our store because we couldn't get there. And we're really looking forward to getting out there and hanging out. Maybe it's a good thing we're missing Ohio because they probably want to kill me right
now.
Yeah,
we do appreciate you, but we've been sending a lot of people
to
east.
Ohio. We're trying to stimulate your economy.
Yeah, we're trying to help you out.
So that's that update. We will be in Iowa. This episode might have launched by the time Iowa happened. I'm not sure how it'll lay out, but we'll be there. Beer Can Alley. We'll be drinking beers. The Wisconsin show is in Wisconsin Dells now. We are staying there at the Kalahari right there. But we'll be out and about at the show. Come say hi. If you come to our booth, come talk to us. We'll tell you how you can enter the HHA giveaway. You got to come to the booth though. That's the catch. You can't just like think you're going to grandfather your way in.
Yeah, so, you said there's going to be like a stabilizer and a sight giveaway with that.
Yep, it's like a $600 value.
Nice.
That we're giving away for each show. So we're going to pick a winner from each show. But you have to come to our booth. Anybody can win. You have to come to the booth.
Yep, come to the booth, get signed up for it, and get your name in the hat.
Yep, for sure.
It's that easy.
So that's the update. Other updates, we have a new patch hat on the store. I'm trying to think what else we got going on right now that we're forgetting something. I don't know.
Are we?
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we're just that lame. We got nothing going on. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. If you listen to one of the later episodes we did with Scott Bach, and he talks about the new stabilizer setups they have coming out. Of course, their sides, and of course, their drop away rests. If you're wanting to get into something HHA, if you don't come to our booth and win one, you can use code WCB at HHA, WCB15 at HHASports.com. I haven't had enough beer yet. My brain's not like firing on all cylinders.
Take a drink.
I'll do that. Oh, I got to open a new one. That's my problem. Podcast also brought to you by Big Tine, bigtine.com. If you live in a state where they allow supplemental feed, God bless you because you helped out your deer herd the last few weeks and it was brutal, brutal cold. It's nice they're getting a break now. It's nice weather.
It's warming up. Snow's going away.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be nice the next couple weeks. We needed that, though. We needed to be able to feed there for about 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was brutal.
But, most late season plots are picked over by then,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my big time plot still had a lot of food in it, but we got that layer of ice mm-hmm. and then all that snow on top of it, and they just quit using it. It was just too much for them to dig through, so that's where the supplemental feed really shines.
What did you plant for your late season big time?
Well, it was kind of split. I had Last Stand on one side and then Buck Brunch on the other. And,
yeah, good combo. Yep. Check out Big Time, food plot seed, supplemental feed, code WCB2021, save you some cash there. That's pretty awesome. Great people over at Big Time, too. We should have some podcasts coming up with them. Sooner than later here. Also, Old Barn Taxidermy, one of my favorite places on planet Earth, probably the coolest place in Iowa, it's where you can't kill a deer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But we did. Oh,
you can bring dead deer.
I think Ross just made the visit over there today. He brought his big 200 and his first buck over there. So he brought both of them. This year over. And he said they're rocking and rolling, man. He said it's crazy. They're just mounting whitetails like crazy over there right now.
Well, they got the tannery, and they have the deer processing.
Yep.
We did pick a winner for the mount. I was going to announce it today, but I'm going to wait. We have a video coming out on Old Barn that he's going to post with me doing the drawing.
Very cool.
So there you go. One of you guys that listens to this podcast that killed a deer or killed whatever and went to go have a shoulder mount done, basically, if you said, hey, I listen to WCB, they put your name in the hat, and then we picked a winner. So one of you guys that did that, won a free mount for next season. So congratulations to you. We'll announce a winner here soon once it gets out on social. But Old Barn Taxidermy, man, they do everything. In my opinion, they're going to take over the whole taxidermy game. The people there are passionate about it. I mean, you talked to, like, Julian about taxidermy, and the dude's just, like, can't stop thinking about what else he's going to do or remount a deer or do this or try something new. It's pretty cool.
He's a true artist.
Yeah, and plus mm-hmm. Sam, man, he's like the bear king when it comes to mountain bears. So also, Gator Outdoors. It's the outdoor lifestyle brand located in the Midwest, family owned and operated. They kind of have their own little gator deal going on. Oh, you'll see them next to us at the Iowa show, by the way. They're doing a grizzly cooler giveaway, I believe, a big neon green sucker. So
it'll be a good time.
If this airs after Iowa, congratulations, you might have won a cooler. Yeah.
Good for you.
But you know, Gator Outdoors is a lifestyle brand, but they're also a dealer right now. Like, you can get big time there. You can get T&K hunting gear there. You can get, I mean, if you're a River's Edge tree stand guy, you can get those through those guys. True Timber Camo, they got it there. Gator Outdoors. And he just upped the code for you guys. So for 25% off at GatorOutdoors.com is WCB25. So look at that. He's
doing work.
He's like, we need to give stuff away for cheaper. Look at him. Also, Elite Archery. Everything Elite Archer outdoor group brand, like Elite Archery, Slick Trick just had a new broadhead come out. Code WCB is universal across all those outdoor group brands. So you can use the code WCB on a brand new Elite and have it shipped to a local dealer. So not only are you buying from Elite, you're saving money with the code, but you're shipping it to a dealer, and you can support your local dealer by having everything set up and picking up your accessories and all that through the dealer.
Doesn't get any better than that.
So that's pretty cool. We'll do some, we're going to do some video overviews on what bows we picked this year and why, and breakdowns and all that stuff. Also, Rogue Ridge and the Grind. Rogue Ridge, of course, is the e-bikes. We just got a couple of them today. We have the 750 that folds, mm-hmm. and then the rigid frame 750 that we're planning on tearing up here. But the Grind turkey calls, man, these are diaphragm calls. We got a bunch of them. I think we're going to do a giveaway. Eric's got a bunch of the diaphragm calls, and he doesn't give a shit about turkeys. So he's like, let's do a giveaway. So we'll have a bunch that we're going to give away. I mean, diaphragm calls is the game there. But check them out, the Grind. They'll be we'll be tearing them up here at Turkey Palooza.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the best thing when you're trying to draw a bow and call on a bird. Yeah. Also, Scent Crusher. No code for Scent Crusher right now. I'll do some prying on that for you guys. But, man, from the gear bag to the closets to all that stuff, at Scent Crusher, man, it's hard to go wrong. I hate that people kind of like, man, ozone's bullshit. It's black magic. Okay, witchcraft. Yeah, fine. Play the wind, but you can't, like, discredit scent control. Like, you have to do something.
Yeah, when you look at the big picture, I mean, moisture is what causes the scent problems in our hunting clothes, and it's an easy solution. I mean, you can either wash your clothes every other time you go out, like I do, and then they shrink up, and you look like you're wearing a size small.
Or they're all faded.
My junkie camo, I did that with. So now that I've got some nice camo, be rocking this Scent Crusher stuff, and you have to wash it one time a season, and then you just keep running cycles.
And also, if you listen to the previous episode where we talk about the whiskey wind, I don't know if you weren't on that one, Chandler.
I wasn't.
The whiskey wind.
We named like a iffy wind, like a quartering wind. It'd be a quartering wind, like a wind that works for the deer, but it works for you, but it's
kind of right on that edge.
Yeah, we call that a whiskey wind. Because you take a shot, someone's getting fucked up. So don't gamble on those whiskey wins. Scent Crusher, check them out. All right, that's the partners. That's the business side of things. Thanks for supporting them, and we appreciate them supporting us. And we appreciate you being here. We hope you enjoy this episode. Well, you finally made it, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. You know we're all in here. Johnny Utah is back in the studio.
Love to be here, man.
What's up,
favorite place to be in Illinois?
Your sixth?
Sixth.
Oh.
Sixth.
Time? Up there.
Yep.
That's a lot of in-studio shows.
That is, man.
I wonder what the record is for in-studio guests.
Well, last time I was on, I think Casper had me beat by one. So
did he?
Are we tied?
Got to be getting close.
Well, in-studio, you have to have more. But you all-time guests, I don't know about the count. He was just on one that launched the time we're...
That cat's always one ahead of me.
He's an animal, though.
Just stays out there.
It's like, God dang, Clint. welcome back, man.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. Always a blast hanging out with you guys.
It's good to see you. It's good to see you.
I know.
It's always better in person, too, right?
Yeah. So much. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And you get to film and make something out of it.
Get to read. You know, like, as you guys know with the podcast, you guys have been doing them forever. Mm-hmm. Like, just the chemistry that you get off the body language is way always so much better.
Yeah. It's way different. Phone interview, they work, you know, especially like in like COVID or like remote podcasts, but it's better. We're working on these destination. We're working on that whole thing. Like, people are going to be coming to us a lot more here soon.
No,
we got some stuff we're planning on. But before we dive too deep, Doug has a veteran shout out that he wants to rip through.
I do. This veteran shout out is brought to you by Operation HHA USA.
Shout out to them. HHAUSA.org.
Yep.
And .edu.
They're United Service members in archery. And this veteran shout out was submitted by Jeremy Scoff. And the veteran name is Chris Edwards from Nebraska Trade Show.
Chris Edwards, what's up, dude? Shout out to you.
In the Navy. It says Chris served 20 years in the Navy and retired as Chief Master at Arms. He was very successful while running a canine drug dog in law enforcement. He served his later years in the Navy as a recruit in Nebraska. Chris loved his career and has been strong family values, and constant time away from them led to his retirement. He now spends his time running several businesses such as Racks, Big Game Supplements, Big Red Outdoors, and recently started the Nebraska Deer and Game Expo. We were just there.
Look at that.
He also serves as the president of the Big Game Conservation Association. Amongst all that, he lives and breathes hunting. He's become one of my best friends over the last few years and truly is a brother from another. Many hunt camps have came and will continue to be shared with him, and I just wanted to thank him once again for his service to this great country.
Very cool.
Thank you for that submission, and thank you for your service, Chris.
Thanks for your service, Chris. Good dude. I think he's going to come to the Iowa show as a plan.
Oh, yes?
So we'll get to hang out with him there. Awesome. I think so. I think he's going to try to make it out.
Thanks, man.
Great dude. We enjoyed the Nebraska show. Man, he's a man of many hats.
He's got his fingers on everything.
I didn't know he did all that.
It's crazy. Shout out to him. Thanks for your service, buddy, and thanks for submitting the veteran shout out. Pretty cool. Thank you, HHA USA, also. Cool. Johnny, what's up, dude? It's like, I want to ask you, like, what's new? But then it's like, what's new first? Because you always got something going on.
Yeah.
Work more hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Just start with that or what?
Yeah, because So I'm rocking a Work More Hours hoodie.
My mic just got decked out with a Work More Hours band.
Yeah, some silicone bands.
That's fitting for the mic.
Yeah, the idea, and I had explained it before with the short film Work More Hours about my dad. Anybody that follows me closely, I recently lost my dad back in December.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Appreciate it. And so it was always one of those things, like, I kind of wanted to do something more with Work More Hours, phrase. And it seemed kind of a fitting time to do it.
Yeah.
And I said, what if I just did like an apparel line? Started doing some shirts and hoodies and hats and swag, stuff like that. And I had a lot of people that said, that's cool, but man, I don't know, work more hours, like being a workaholic, being away from your family. And I'm like, wait a second. People associate the term work with like a 9-to-5 and going out and working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's work more in your relationship, work more in your faith.
Or however you want to apply it.
Yeah. Work more in the woods, be a better, work more hours to being a better steward, in the timber.
Yeah.
Like, it can apply to everything in life. And the underlying message that my dad was always trying to convey is nothing is free and you're going to have to earn it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're going to have to work for it, so to speak.
For sure.
Getting ready to kick that brand off. I've got some swag out there floating around.
The website's all the Beck's rocking it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yep. So the website's almost done. The plan is to have it launched early next week, and we'll go full blown.
So it's already up by the time this
launches.
So go check it out.
Yeah, go check it out. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that, man. Because, like when you think about the 9-to-5, that's not very much fun to work more hours at. But, when it comes to like applying it to the podcast, I'm like, hell yeah, I'm all in. You know what I mean?
So like hunting in general.
That's how you apply it. Like on the mic, and you gave us these badass stickers. I'm going to put one on the bottom of the computer monitor here.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't really get burnt out on this because I like it a lot. But at a certain point, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. You need a mental break every now and again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that's the idea. Like, with a good side hustle, as long as it's something you really love,
you gotta
really
love
passionate
it.
About, then it's easy to work more hours.
100%.
Yeah. And go for it. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I like it where that applies. I love it, dude. The saying's cool. The saying's cool.
It is catchy.
Simple.
I like that.
Yeah simple.
It's simple, and I like how you just like your hoodie, or your, it's not a hoodie, it's a crew neck, which looks great, by the way.
Dude, I'm bringing back the crew necks.
I got
too much hair for a hoodie all the time.
I'm all for the crew necks, man.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You got to get a good quality crew neck, though.
Yeah, good quality crew neck. It's hard to beat.
Right. Or a good, like, you need one of them windbreaker type jackets. They're like silky looking with the stripes on the sleeves.
Yeah.
That's what we need right there.
There we go.
Put a pullover. Repping it up. So work more hours. Man, we should talk about Bourbon Barrel calls because turkey season's right around the corner, man.
Yeah, man. I tell you, you know, last year started that company November 3rd of 19.
Yeah,
So I had a lot of early order Christmas sales, you know, to kind of get through the winter. And then things kind of kicked into the season. And the brand was still growing, which was actually probably a good thing because I was out chasing, you know, turkeys all over the country myself.
Right.
But still had a phenomenal opening year. Probably sold somewhere around 550, 600 calls, you know, that first 4 months of the business. And for 2021, closing in on 250 calls already in 2021.
Very nice. Do you find more people? I know people use them, but do more people buy them for art?
I'd say 60% use them, 40% just put them up in a man cave.
Kind of cool either way,
right? They look so good, you almost feel guilty scratching them. I scratch mine. I'm like, damn it, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Yeah.
I was going to do that, and then I was talking to Austin. He's like, I don't know if I'd scratch that one. I was like, I think I'm going to keep it as a collection.
Yeah.
It's kind of something you get, like a nice, like, framed up, like,
case. It looks good, at the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, you got both markets.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, you know, the business side of me says, I don't care what you do with
it.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's yours.
Yeah, right. It's yours, right?
Yeah.
Sound good.
What's your favorite to see? You like to see? Well, of course, you want to see people kill birds with it, but.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it kind of, it's kind of cool to like see it up in a man cave. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, to me, it's like an honor that if somebody has it as a keepsake and they want to keep it in a man cave.
Yeah.
And then it's also one of those cool things like if I participated in 1% of their success of killing a bird,
right?
And that's just as cool to me too.
You know? For sure. Yeah, I guess either way, it's completely fine.
Well, I saw someone do like for a wedding party.
Yeah. Awesome. Actually, Wade that's Borman.
Cool. Oh, it was Wade.
Yeah. Wade did the best man and the groomsman package. So, now that created the whole wedding collection that's on the website.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
I'd be jacked up if I got one of those.
Right?
Yeah. Because I mean, think about how many flask I have. That.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Or bottle openers.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. I'm done going mugs. And playing a round of golf with the boys. You know.
Yeah. I'd say I really enjoy a flask as a gift.
I got enough flasks already.
Yeah, I've got enough of those.
Bourbon Barrel flasks.
Yeah.
Just keep refilling the whole bourbon.
Yep. So it's a. No, we've actually got a partnership that we're kicking off. We're doing 110 calls, actually, for one particular gentleman in the state of Iowa.
Can you say?
When's this airing? Like a week, 2 weeks?
Probably right after Iowa show, so two weeks.
Go check out Knock On TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Old Mr. Duds, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Snap.
That's a big deal.
That's been every night till 3 o'clock in the morning.
How long does it take you to make one call?
I guess it probably depends,
right?
Yeah, I mean, if I have all the components there, beginning to end, and let's say I'm not waiting for, like, glue to dry and stuff like that, I can do a call, let's say I can do 10 calls in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But when a volume order comes in like that in the month of February with a two-week deadline, I was like, seriously, Dudley? Like, you're killing me.
Yeah.
But it's John Dudley. So it's like, all right, dude, we'll do whatever it takes. Let's make it happen. So
very cool.
So that was a cool collaborative project to work on with those guys. And hopefully it leads to more things down the road, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So we'll see. But I mean, it forced me to actually do some different stuff. I was battling a supply chain with my wooden boxes. And I'll admit, my wooden boxes, I was buying them from a U.S. manufacturer or supplier, but I'm sure they were probably coming from overseas.
Yeah.
And with COVID and shipping and just everything else that's going on and Chinese New Year and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was having supply issues. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to go to a new package.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about this. But I got like a day to design it and figure it out. So we're switching over to a rusted tin box.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I think that people would actually keep the tin boxes, keep pins,
right,
keys,
right.
change, whatever, yeah. you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll actually encourage people to keep it more. And if it's got the logo on it, then that just helps with branding.
For sure.
So it was designed that, and then now design a new logo to go on that tin, because I really can't stencil it the way I used to. So,
right.
man, I'm telling you, it was like Panic at the Disco for like 2 days. I got to get this figured out. You know what I mean? And then I'm sitting there looking at my watch, and I'm like, the deadline doesn't move just because I'm having problems.
Right, yeah. right.
So,
man, yeah, it's like supply issues with COVID. It just seems like it's crazy everywhere.
You know, and I mean, the amount of phone calls, you guys might get it too, like on your swag.
Dude, it's
I ordered
it's
a shirt a week ago. Where's it at? And I'm like, I don't work for UPS. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's a problem. We've been having packages get lost.
Yeah.
And then, like, some of our hats have been back ordered. We can't get them in.
Yeah.
And just, like,
it's
what the hell?
It's a pain. And yeah. I keep telling people, I'm like, I don't work for the Postal Service. Like, I'm mm-hmm. sorry.
Right. Well, that's what we, like, for these trade shows coming up, we ordered our stuff weeks and weeks and weeks ago because we want to make sure we have enough for these shows.
Yep.
So, I mean, what do you do? It sucks. It's hard on everybody, but
yep.
hopefully we get through it. We'll see.
Yeah. It's, you know, you almost wonder, like, with the whole COVID thing, it did create more online sales. And then COVID and winter storm has created a problem with online sales.
Yeah.
So is it, right. is this the shift back to brick and mortar? They can just physically go pick it up and they don't have to wait to have it shipped to them or something? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. It all depends. I don't know. I like online ordering's great, but sometimes I like to kick tires and feel things and look at them and buy them. But overall, I'm ordering online for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. I think I am too.
Unless it's like a local biz that I'm like, and I know I could order this on Amazon. Or if I go there, it's better for that. Yeah. You know, I'm all for that.
I have like a 15% rule. I'll pay up 15% to support local.
That's fair.
But if it's more than that, I got to go online.
Yeah. That's probably fair, right?
Yeah.
Roughly.
I hope.
People are like, he's a dick. I get 25%.
Yeah. Yeah. Support Joe McGillicuddy, you know.
Yeah, no shit. So we got Work More Hours. We got Bourbon Barrel. I'm trying to catch everybody up to speed on all your stuff. I mean, rattle them through. We got Arrow Wild. We got Johnny Utah Creative.
Yeah, and then that
part
of the business.
Am I missing a brand?
That's it for now.
Okay. I'm like, shit, what else you got going on?
Well, that's what I told my wife. I said, hey, I'm going to kick off this Work More Hours brand. And she's like, oh, you should definitely do that in all your free time. I'm like,
nice.
I'm like, thanks. I'm like, know where she stands and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
But Johnny Utah Creative has actually taken off a lot more. I've kind of gotten into the world of catfishing.
Catfishing?
Yeah.
Like you act like a woman online and then meet somebody
yes,
like, I'm Johnny Utah.
That is exactly what I do.
Just film it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So nice. In previous podcasts, I had talked about, like, go where the competition isn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is another one of those little case studies and, you know, practice what you preach, right?
Yeah.
So hunting in the hunting industry can get a little crowded in space.
Yes,
it
is.
Get a little gobbled up.
Yeah.
It's beyond crowded sometimes. Mm-hmm. So catfishing community was a whole nother market.
Mm-hmm. So there's just catfishing niche versus...
Yep.
Of course there is, right? That's how ignorant I am to it. Okay. Sorry, I'm cutting you off, but I'm kind of like...
Yeah. Well, you know, there's bass fishing,
right.
cat fishing,
right.
saltwater, you know, fly fishing. So had an opportunity through some friends of mine. There's actually a nonprofit that I do a lot of work with, a veteran nonprofit out in Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Shout them out.
Yeah. Heroes Outdoor Therapy.
Cool.
It's a husband and wife deal. Good friends of mine. Yes, sir. And so they introduced me to the catfishing thing. They said, hey, we'll pay you to come out here and photo film, you know, us on a boat fishing one weekend. And I had fun doing it. And then they introduced me to this tournament series called the Cat Masters. And the Cat Masters is huge.
It's
like the Bass Masters, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I'm jacked up about this.
Dude,
I love cat
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, yeah. So
Cat Masters?
Yeah.
That's
so
a guy
by the name of Brian St. Alma, he started this tournament. And it was like a bet. A bunch of guys were sitting around drinking bourbon one night, and somebody bet him that he could not start a successful catfishing tournament series. And he was like, I'll take that bet, you know. Next morning, he's like, oh, boy, you know. So he dove into it. And some of their catfishing tournaments are paying $50,000 to first place.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Dude, this is like real shit, you know.
I will back this fishing thing up. I watched on like Outdoor Sportsman's Channel the other night. I turned it on. I have a sling.
Yeah.
And a bass fishing tournament was on. And I like to fish when I'm like, oh, I'm fishing, But I just don't have the initiative to, like, go fishing. Like, right. I fished with you one time. I'm an idiot when it comes to fishing. But I'm like, dude, this is so much fun. But right. I was watching this bass fishing tournament, and I'm like, I watched it. I was more into it than a hunting show. I'm like, this is badass. Yeah. And because it's a different market I'm not used to. Every commercial's got some big bass fisherman's face, and he's, like, in his truck with his boat promoting a product. I'm like, yeah. This it's almost worse than the hunting industry.
Yeah. Right. That's kind of what's cool about the catfishing side of it, though, because it's really not commercialized as much as the bass side. So you're kind of you're hopping in at the right time.
Yep. And that's kind of where I come into it is these guys are like, we want to be more professional with it. Yeah. We need to attract corporate sponsors and stuff like that. What's the best way to go about doing it? And what I have seen is a lot of their logos. You remember, like, the No Fear logo?
Yeah.
A lot of their logos kind of have that No Fear look to it.
That,
I'm like,
that 90s-esque.
Yeah.
Vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, 90s we need rock-ish. To, we need to modernize, you know, some of this. And anyways, they, like I said, they had the wherewithal, you know, that they need to kind of grow this thing and promote it better. And so that's kind of where I came in and started doing photo video stuff for them. And then now some of their corporate sponsors are seeing what I'm doing from them, and then they're calling me. So now I'm doing work for their sponsors as well.
No kidding.
So it's just kind of spiraled, and yeah, it's been cool. And then along the way, I've learned that I actually like catfishing. You know what I mean?
I've never done it ever. Yeah.
And I mean, I had just done it like farm pond in Kentucky.
Right.
Yeah.
You caught like a 3-4 pounder, and you were like, score. Right. You know? Right. And then the first one.
It's like a waiting
game,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
well,
like bass where you just keep casting.
It's a good beer drinking sport.
Yeah, we would cast and just throw a big rock on the rod and reel, and I'd go home. Or I'd go jump on a tractor, and I'd go mow a field. Then when I got done that night, I'd come back with my flashlights and see if I had anything, you know, on some doe bait or whatever. But
yeah.
They were like, yeah, just cut up the skipjack and just chuck that fucker out there in the water. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Very first time I cast, I didn't even have the rod back in the rod holder.
Oh, dang.
And all of a sudden, I see the eyelet, like, go into water. And I'm like, what am I supposed to... Oh, shit, I'm supposed to pull, you know? So I crank on this thing, and I'm thinking, like, bass. You know? I'm like, oh, there's something big on there. Uh-huh. So they all think I'm just fucking with them, you know? And I'm like, cranking. And they're like, you're full of shit. Like, you're hung on a ledge or, you know, whatever. Or you're pretending it's a big fish.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when the veins pop out, like, in my forehead, like, it's not a little fish. Like, right, yeah. I'm struggling here, you know? So I finally get this thing, you know, in. I'm looking at the line counter, and it's, like, 375 or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, boy, it's going to take a while. So I get this thing in, and it ends up being a 48-pound blue.
Damn.
And I'm like, oh, no my kidding. God, that's, a river monster.
That is a monster.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know shit about catfish.
Dude, a 48-pound cat is a freaking giant.
No shit.
Yeah, I've got a picture on my phone holding it up, and... You know, I've got one hand in the mouth, and I've got one kind of under its belly, and I'm like this. I'm like,
no
you
kidding.
Know, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just, you know,
dude. That would be fun.
Yeah. So that catching little fish is not cool for me.
Neither
you
is
know,
killing.
I'm not a huge fishing person.
Anymore. Yeah, I was gonna say neither is killing small bucks, but that was a joke. For
yeah, but I
time.
Kill a lot of those.
It's like we all lived that life at once.
Robin.
Yeah. But man, I tell you, it's a lot of friggin' fun. And then the guys' boat that we were on. He's actually, he has 4 Purple Hearts and, this guy, Matt Mitchell, he's a badass.
4?
Yeah. He's got 4. God yeah. Dang. He's a super cool guy. And I was like, Matt, I was like, what do you think about that beginner's luck? He's like, that ain't too shabby there, John, buddy. You know,
all low key about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, it's not too bad. And he's like, we're only about 10 feet away from my best anchor spot. I'm like, yeah, what was your best here? Did I beat it? And he goes, you're about 50 pounds shy of my first best.
A whole nother fish.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'll sit down now.
I'll shut my mouth. Guys, can I sit over here?
Yeah.
Not exactly. Not bad for your first fish coming out.
Though. No, not
jeez
bad. Yeah.
Is that a river you guys were in? Or?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm assuming that's where they get the biggest is rivers.
Yeah. We were real close, pretty close to like a dam, you know.
Yeah. What about the Mississippi? We're right on the Mississippi.
We see big flatheads, but as far as blues go, I mean, we see them, but they're not. I've never seen a monster like a 30-pound blue.
Yeah,
they gotta be out there.
I'm sure
though,
that they're
right?
out there. Like I've got commercial fishing buddies that are probably laughing at me right now, but like the big fish that I see are the big, you know, 60-70-pound flatheads. Uh-huh. Those flatheads are the big ones.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yep.
So I'll tell you a story. And I was young. I knew a guy that fished the river a lot. And he said that he had some diver buddies that would dive down on the Mississippi and said there'd be like old cars on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And he said there'd be catfish in those old cars as big as the roof.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if that's true.
You always hear those tales. My grandfather was actually a commercial fisherman.
No kidding.
He would never – actually, a commercial fisherman that didn't swim, believe that. But he would have buddies – he'd have buddies that would go down and dive. They'd have to go down and do work on the lock and dams, and they'd dive down there, and he'd say the same thing. There's catfish down there the size of guys swimming around.
No kidding.
It's freaky.
That is kind of scary. They swallow you.
Yeah, it's freaky.
Hey, what happens if one of them bites on your arm and pulls you down in?
Oh, I got cut. Like, I had on gloves, but it still kind of ripped through the glove a little bit.
Yeah.
And I had a little.
Have you ever done the nude one thing?
No.
Other than Hannah,
I was gonna do that last summer.
I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd be.
I don't know if she like got busy or she like cool girl.
She cool
or
girl.
Yeah,
she she's mixing it up with Theo Vaughn.
I know.
I thought she's out there with Theo Vaughn, and the next thing you know, she's not dating her country boy anymore. I don't know what's up with that.
Oh no,
easy.
All that. Jeez. Hey, I'm just saying. I see what I see.
Yeah,
that's poor decisions, in my opinion.
I don't know about noodling though. I don't know.
I'm not sticking my hand in it.
You got to think about what that'd feel like, man. That'd be intense. I want to do it one time just to say I've done it.
I would do it once. But.
Well, and it caught, like, from talking to her and seeing, like, the scars on her arm, like, I know that they bite hard.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Is it more of a pressure bite?
Yeah, yeah.
But they have these really hard lips with the little teeth on them, so it's like a real aggressive sandpaper. And when they clamp on, they don't let up.
Yeah. Have you done it? Or you probably I've been bit.
Yeah, I've picked them up by the lips and got bit. So I could imagine what a 30 or 40 pounder would feel like biting on your arm.
And I guess, like I said, I knew that it was going to bite down, but it still kind of caught me off guard. I didn't think that it would be that hard.
Right.
Yeah, they bite hard.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It bites hard. And they're slimy. So, you know what I mean?
It's creepy.
So, like, I grabbed onto one and then it bit and it you know, kind of kicked a little bit. And I'm trying to hold on to it. And, like I say, when I say slime, I'm talking like goo, like snot slime.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? They're just covered in it. And, of course, this thing like, you know, pops out of my hands and falls. And they're like, get a hold of the damn fish. And I'm like,
just a 48-pound loogie.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm weird with like fish and birds. I'm familiar with fish, you know? Like, yeah. I never did it growing up. But anyway, I don't know. That's just me. Unfamiliar with fish, unfamiliar with that whole deal, but
yeah, I kind of am too, but I mean that'd be fun to do.
Yeah, so
yeah,
next month.
Is your camera on here, Johnny? I don't see it blinking. Okay.
Should be.
I was watching it blink. I don't see it blink either.
That is the fanciest GoPro I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
There it is. Was it off?
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
yeah,
nice save.
Good call. Yep.
Anyway, I'm looking out for you, man.
Yeah, so next month I fly to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shipping my rod and reels out there ahead of time. And I'm going to fish 2 days on the Potomac, which is cool because you're fishing and then you've got DC monuments in the background, like catching fish, looking at the
Lincoln Memorial. Pretty cool.
Yep. So I'm going to do that for 2 days.
America right there.
And then I'm actually going to film that for an Arrow Wild episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bow hunting.
You should, though. That's cool.
What's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we need
something different. I would. It's just an experience, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people like to see, like, kind of behind the scenes or different type shit, you know?
Well, and that's kind of the way I'm going to do it, too. Like, I don't know shit about shit when it comes to catching catfish.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to do the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out there with experienced people, and they're going to be, you know, kind of teaching me.
Yeah,
and,
which I think is cool because as they're teaching you, they're teaching people watching.
Exactly.
I'll watch that one because I'm like, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, like, the typical way is to be like, yeah, I mean, I've been catfishing my whole life, you know.
Right, right.
This is the second time I've been on a boat.
You should do it as, like, a spoof, like, you're like tell the camera, you know, I don't know shit, but then go on there like you're this expert and watch everybody laugh at you and just film it all.
Like, every time you set the hook, you act like a badass.
Yeah, yeah, this guy's an asshole.
If I, like, bird's nest something, I'll be like, yeah, cut that out.
Yeah,
cut the camera.
Bring a big jar of stink bait. Just be flinging it everywhere.
Just dumping the water.
What are you doing?
I'm chumming the water.
I heard that works good for catfish.
Like a 5-gallon bucket of shit.
Just an asshole.
Yeah.
So. That's cool, man. Way to dive into like a unknown but probably more untapped market. You know what I mean? So
yeah, like I said, it's go where people aren't.
Let me ask you a question. Yep. This is kind of for everybody. Johnny, of course, you go first, though. What's an untapped What's the least untapped market in bow hunting or hunting?
Ooh, the least untapped. Well,
we'll go big game.
I'm going through the process of elimination. Like,
they're all kind of tapped.
Like, what is worn out? Like, public land scouting.
Yeah, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the public versus private conversation. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, we just, well, it's time to move on.
Tree stands. Yeah. Tired of that.
Let's move on.
Man, what is the least tapped? See, and that's just it. I'm having a really hard time even thinking
that's the thing.
Of something that's new.
You know what I think would be if I had to pick
yeah.
and agree or disagree, and I might end up changing my mind as I start to talk about it. Like, but me trying to dig up something with that question mm-hmm. would be like highly strategic strategies, like with wind for whitetails, because I think it takes – you have to build up to the skill level to wrap your head around how those strategies actually work.
That's a good one.
You know what I mean? So it's harder to tap into that because – yeah, you can talk about it, and there's guys like, well, yeah, into the wind. But it's like you don't really know until you've, like, learned your way into that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not a great comparison. It's like, well, Everest. Like, yeah, you could be up it, but you don't know until you get to the top and you've been there. And like,
Until you die.
You freeze.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a good point, too, because a lot of that information is such high level.
It's over a lot of people's heads, whether they
admit
it or not.
If you don't take course one to get to two, you're not going to understand three. Mm-hmm. If you don't have three, you sure as hell ain't understanding four.
That's exactly it.
So,
but that's me digging. That's me digging for one of them.
Well,
you know what
I mean? Then the other part of that too is it's hard to explain that. Like, how do you explain wind? Like, the way that you would have to do the photo in the video, you would almost have to use like smoke bombs.
Yeah.
And really film the wind from a drone.
There's been guys do like whiteboard stuff. There's been guys that do like, if you have like a good graphics guy that does the whole digital thing where it's like,
you need the guys that do that fucking Gold Rush. Have you ever seen Gold Rush?
Yeah, where they do like the illustration, the animation, the animation. Well, some shows do that. I can't tell you what one right off the top of my head, but I've seen it where it's got like a deer decoy standing there. And it's like the animation shows your wind is like
overhead.
Yeah. But even then I don't know how that translates because a lot of people, it's over a lot of people's heads. But I don't know. That's me scraping the bottom of the barrel to think of something that's untapped and hunting. Yeah. You'd have to do – it had to be something like outside of whitetails, like what Jim Shockey does, where it's like some weird Kadurkistan where he's over there like trying to kill some – is that offensive?
No. Is it? It's just funny.
But it's awesome.
I was just like going, uh-huh. Yeah, I've heard that country. Wait, I've never heard of that country.
Yeah, that's where they film Borat, right?
Yeah.
But yeah,
Kazakhstan.
Like some crazy very like nice. Horned animal or like
right.
some 20 pound, you know, fang deer or whatever.
Yeah.
But that, I don't know. That's a stretch. It's all tapped pretty heavily.
It is. It's all been.
It's kind of sad we can't think of something that's not. But that's also why marketing is challenging because
it is. It
takes more thought.
It's what's going next. And like I said, maybe I kind of took the easy way and said, let's just leave hunting for a little bit.
Hey.
Let's just do something different.
Yeah, but that's not dumb.
No.
I don't think. I mean,
it's not at all.
There's too many people. I mean, here's the problem. I think with hunting, you had so many guys riding the trends. Whether or not, and maybe I'm wrong here. I hope I'm wrong, actually. You have guys riding the trends of, I'll just use the public land hunting thing. Yeah. And from the ground, da-da-da. You got production guys and marketing people hopping on those trends.
Yeah.
Even probably if they're not even interested in doing it.
Yeah.
But they just know it'll get them views.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
like, to me, I'm like, if I'm not, don't find it interesting, I'm not going to do it. I don't care how many views or likes or listens it gets.
I would be more like Johnny, really. Like, oh, that's cool, but, like, what are people not doing?
Right. Well, but you're learning while you're doing it, too. Like, you're not just doing it because no one's there, but, like, you're probably interested because you don't know anything about it.
No, and, you know, I don't know anything about it. I want to learn about it, and I literally want this to be 12 months a year.
Yeah.
I want to do something on the woods or water. 12 months a year. This mm-hmm. is what I do for a living. And, I had kind of a void in the season. And I thought, you know, everybody I know that hunts has fished before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's relatable to a big crowd. I mean, everybody's went catfishing, but not a lot of people are good at it or understand.
Yeah.
So I think you're,
I think
it's
smart.
Just at a farm pond.
You know what the least tapped thing in hunting is? I just thought of it. The it's tapped, but the least tapped.
Okay.
Predator hunting.
I've got that on my
it's on the list.
Yeah, it's on my list.
But am I right?
Yeah, no.
Probably.
No, you're right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's done, but I would agree that
it's definitely gaining popularity.
Yeah, I think it's hard to film a little bit, you know?
Yeah, especially self-filming,
yeah, stuff like that. And, hey, they're not called Wile E. Coyotes, you know, for nothing, right? Rough. I mean,
so. Yeah, and if you're doing it at night, I mean,
exactly. How do you film that?
The thermal game has really came on strong the last couple of years. Everybody's diving into these new thermal
I'm not mad at it. Take your double barrel crossbows and go out there.
Yeah, it's Kyle. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Did you see that post that I guess like the last 48 hours caught a lot of traction? There was a video that some people put out, and it's about coyote hunting, competition coyote hunting. And they presented the video from a negative stance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That it's not, you know, it's not, you're not predator hunting. You're just championship stacking up coyotes for money.
And like, I understand. Like an anti put it out?
Yeah, yeah, anti did.
And I kind of I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand it. I'm not going to say I believe.
Well, you
trying
can
to
see,
think the right way to
that'd be a good way to appeal to a crowd of people that aren't hunters.
Yeah,
correct.
It looks bad on paper.
It looks because there's like like but the thumbnail the day, was how many it's like 50 dead coyotes stacked.
Yeah, and I get it. That looks bad, but if you can get past that and you say, well, look how many turkeys are now survived. Look how many horses.
Exactly.
Look how many fawns.
Yeah.
You
well, what kills coyotes if we don't?
Exactly.
Well, then the next thing you see is that. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw that video of the coyote killing that dog.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know what's messed up?
Yeah.
You see, always see like the coyotes killing dogs or cats or running off of the cat in its mouth or like wolves coming up. Dude.
They snatch people.
Watching wolves. Watching like there's videos people put up surveillance of like a wolf killing like a golden retriever.
Yeah.
And it's like messed up as it is, it's kind of important that those videos are out there.
Right.
True.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it gets a lot of people that never thought about it going, oh my God.
That could be my dog.
It could be my dog, but it's like if coyotes are up running up and whacking
in your
out
backyard,
dogs in your backyard when they could be eating deer, it's like, well, maybe they should be managed. Everything's fair game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hell, we talked to people from Wyoming and say they'll knock out a whole cattle pasture and just eat the noses off them and keep going.
Yeah, that's not killing for food. That's just killing to kill.
Just killing to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I get why that competition stuff looks bad on paper.
Yeah.
But.
Yep. So I'm going to fly to PA and do the catfishing deal, take
cat
all
masters.
My gear, and then I'm going to then fly down to Florida, kick off Osceola turkey season with my bow down there.
Kick ass.
And then I'll fly back to Iowa just so I can get my truck so I can drive back down to Alabama to photo film the final Cat Masters tournament, the championship. This is where all the points are going to be added up, and this is where the grand champion gets awarded money down there at, let's see, that is in Decatur, Alabama, is where their final tournament is. But that one, I think that one, the classic, I think that one pays $50,000.
No kidding.
Place.
So you're killing. You're gonna go. Are you going for a slam again for birds?
Yes, sir.
You are again.
Yeah.
Let
it be heard. Let it be noted. I'm gonna try to be a back-to-back Grand Slam champion.
That would be cool.
Going for the ship.
So you weren't just like I'm cool with the first one.
No, I mean I was, and then I had one person tell me like, "Damn, dude, you got lucky."
Ah.
So
you just had to say it, didn't
you?
You
know who you are.
Yeah. So you had to go back.
And I was like, "All right, fuck it, I'll do it twice."
Okay.
I'll try.
With a bow?
I'll try.
You know, with a bow?
Yeah, again with a bow.
That's hardcore. I like that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to get into because turkey season's right around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm getting more into turkeys. Like, the more I hang out with Doug and the Lord here and Ross,
awesome.
Like, it was always kind of just a filler.
Yeah. Well, it perfectly sets in with a whitetail hunter schedule, so everything's coming back alive, and you're starting to feel like getting back outside again.
You find
and then
sheds.
You step out and you hear that gobbler in the background, and you're like, well, shit, I can chase that with my bow. Why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah. That's the nice thing about it. And I'm getting the appeal is greater, especially after decapping one.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like it's a step, kind of like with the slam.
Uh-huh.
You know, turkey hunting with a shotgun, not always real difficult. I mean, it is sometimes. They're stubborn.
It can be.
It definitely can be. With a bow, it's really hard. Then you like decap, and you got to have them at like 6 yards, and it's got to be perfect.
Right.
But then it also is like adds another layer of frustration, which makes it sweeter when you're successful.
Uh-huh.
But I imagine that's a little bit of the allure to going for another slam.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, last year, a slam during COVID and avoiding Nebraska, not being able to, you know, go for a Miriams or a Rio out there. And again, if anybody goes to Nebraska and they shop their what they call a Rio and a Miriam out there, I'm not going to say it's not one.
But I'll say, do you count hybrids?
But the purist will say it's a hybrid, you know?
Yeah.
So last year, Slam forced me to go to Texas for a Rio and then the Black Hills for, you know, for the Miriams.
I killed a Rio in Kansas. Does that count? You'd say no, huh?
No. Technically.
It's Western Kansas.
Oh, okay. Now, if it's like Western Kansas or like Southwestern Kansas,
hey, this then, has a hybrid,
yeah,
though,
you can,
didn't
they? Yeah, you can get it.
They have, some... He said they have no Easterns. But they're on the they in their thing, they're like, that's a hybrid, you'll know, and they showed
yeah.
us.
Yeah. And if he was up front like that, then and he said you killed a Rio, then I'm sure then you did, you know.
Yeah. I'll show the mounts right there. I think it's a Rio, but I'll be able to see.
Yeah.
What's that?
When you go back there.
I do want to go back to Kansas and hunt. I'd like to get a Merriam next.
They're cool. They are super cool. And just so much white. And then I did actually. So where I hunted at in South Dakota, I was out there with Wade. I crashed on a couch out there with Wade from Gator.
You met up with the Buckstorm boys.
Yeah, but I met up with the Buckstorm guys, and they actually were the ones that kind of pointed me to a spot.
Yeah,
and said this is where they were 2 or 3 weeks ago.
They're killers.
You don't know if they are now, but you know, give it a shot. Yeah. So I went out there and just parked it, you know, all day. But yeah, called in a couple of birds.
Yeah. Hey, so, I think you can do it again.
I'm going to try. Like I said, it all kind of starts off with Florida. I mean, if I strike out on the Osceola, then it's kind of like game over.
That's what's rough about a Grand Slam. Like, you just fuck up the first one. You're like, well, fuck.
I know.
I mean, it's gone. You can't get it back.
That's what's tough.
And, I mean, and to me, like, in all honesty, like, 3 out of 4, that's useless to me.
Yeah.
It's either all or nothing.
Well, I mean, you get a lot of free time if you don't kill one in Florida.
I know. I'll be so bummed.
Will you continue to hunt the rest if you don't get one in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
You
will? Yeah. I mean, I'll at least...
That's still content.
Yeah, I'll at least go back. Well, I've already bought myself to go to tag. So
you got
to
go.
Yeah, so I'll at least go back out there.
I'll do Florida last, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they don't look any different than the Eastern, do they?
Not really. Just smaller.
Oh, they are. A lot smaller.
Yeah, a lot smaller. I mean, the one I shot last year was... like 19 and a half pounds. And if I would have put in to the $100 into the Calcutta pot, I would have taken home like $5,000.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound like a small bird. Cause my Rio was 24 pounds.
Uh-huh.
It's a good bird.
And they said it was a real good
Rio. 19 and a half pound Osceola is like an ostrich.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, like,
hey, can you kill ostrich? Can you,
they
hunt?
Were like,
I think you can.
Second place bird was like 14 pounds or something.
Wow. Oh, no man. Kidding.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
So you're going to do it this year?
Yeah, we'll try.
Hey, you never know.
Remember this right? It's been a long time since I looked into this. Don't Osceola birds have really long spurs in relation
to Rio? Typically, Rios will have some really long spurs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm kind of uneducated on the turkey thing.
Miriams will have
oscillated the Mexican turkeys.
Oscillated. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I saying that right? They have like daggers like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
but they have no beards. That's a Mexican bird.
I want one of those mounted.
Dude, have you ever seen one in person?
They're pretty.
It's like a peacock.
They are fucking badass, man. I went to, I wasn't woke up to the Old Barn taxidermy deal, but I went to, at the time, went to, God damn it, what's the name of the taxidermist? Pike County. Awesome guy. Turkey guy. But he had a bunch mounted in there, and I was like, can I come back and look? And he's like, yeah, check them out. And he had like a scenery of 3 of them mounted together.
Oh, cool.
Oh, dude, they're insane.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to go to Mexico.
Yeah.
Just for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the food.
Yeah.
But
tequila.
And the beer.
Yeah, and I know the Miriams, like, typically because it's like kind of a mountain bird, they'll have shorter beards and shorter spurs because they're rubbing them on all that rock and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. Because I think my Miriams only had like... I was like, oh, man, it's got to get 8 3/4 inch beard. I'm like, what a chump. And then the Buckstorm guys were like, dude, you killed a hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
So.
Did Travis, was he the turkey guy or Jeremy? I think Jeremy cares a lot less about birds.
Yeah, I think Travis is more into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all killers, but Travis is, well, just Jeremy's so short, he can't, like, He can't hear as well because he's not up as high. Yeah. I'm only saying that because I know he's listening.
He can't sit in a blind.
He can't sit in a blind because he can't see through the window.
He's got to stand up.
Right. That's an advantage if he can stand up in there.
Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Right. A little dunker, huh?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
No, they're great, dude. Shout out to Buckstorm. Check them out. Yeah. Buckstorm on YouTube.
Yeah, super, super nice guys, man.
Some of the best people, man. I'm trying to get them to do like the Iowa show or some of these other shows out in the Midwest. Yeah. I'm like, it'd be good for you guys.
Yeah.
But...
Travis got a hell of a trophy room.
Yeah, he sent a Snapchat around, man, and like big muleys, big whitetails. Uh-huh. Dude's got a monster antelope.
Yeah.
That thing is insane.
The goat was impressive. He's got a big mountain lion, elk sheds. He's got all kinds of cool shit.
Pretty cool, right? South Dakota's the spot, I think, man.
It is, as a resident.
As a resident, yeah.
As a non-resident,
I think they can only draw like an elk tag like every 7 years.
Yeah, even as a resident, they're not guaranteed an elk tag.
But hey, you got opportunity at good elk.
Yep.
I mean, when you draw, you know, it kind of sucks, but
as
long as you can come to terms with that. But you're not that far from Colorado.
No.
You're not that far from Wyoming. You can get shit done. That's what's cool about South Dakota. But
So
if I ever leave Illinois and go west, South Dakota is...
It may be a spot, destination spot.
It might be.
Yeah, set up homestead out there.
Yeah, I might just claim that, like, 0.03 Cherokee or whatever the fuck Indian I got in me.
You got some in you. I can tell.
Yeah, I got high cheekbones.
Yeah. It's the blue eyes that gave it away.
That's what they say about me.
That's what I've been told. It's the blue eyes and the blonde hair that really...
Guy's got high cheekbones.
Yeah, it's like the
couldn't
German...
tell if it was German or Indian. It's one of the two.
Yep. It happens a lot. They call me... Never mind. What do they call Ace Ventura when he goes over there? The white devil?
The white devil.
White devil, white devil.
Oh, that's funny.
Bumble Ventura?
Throw me a spear.
After Florida, though, then... Like I said, South Dakota, and then I'm going to do another trip down with old Ward, Musket Powder Ward.
I'm going to go down
to his ranch in Texas and try to do my Rio there. And then I'm going to spend a little extra time down there and do some coyote hog hunting.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
Partnered up, a new partnership for me this year is with Red Arrow Weapons, Kip Campbell.
I saw that. Congrats.
Thanks. Thank you. So, you know, and it's so weird. I spent a lot of time, like, contemplating it because I'm like – I'm a bow hunter, and if I start doing a little gun hunting, are people going to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I think if it's like predators or hogs, nobody gives a shit.
Right. And I was like, wait a second. I'm a retired cop. Like, I don't have anything against guns. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just the platform thing. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So, anyways, that was cool to kind of kick that off with them. And I've looked up to Kip for years.
Awesome, dude. We just had him on the podcast.
Not some wicked looking weapons there too.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's got some real nice stuff.
Which one, which Red Arrow weapon? Is that the way to say it? Red Arrow weapon?
Red Arrow weapons. So right now I have a 223, you know, 16.5-inch barrel.
Yeah.
It actually is a new 223 that they haven't released yet, but they're getting ready to release. So like the other day on Instagram, I did like a super tight shot just kind of, you know, of the receiver, lower receiver.
Yeah.
And then I have a 300 blackout that's coming. That I'm waiting. That's a 10.5-inch barrel on.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So technically a pistol.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to do some research on that one. I'd never heard. I'm not into guns that much, so I hadn't heard of that round. Had to look it up. It's a pretty cool gun.
Yeah, I mean, with a little bit of work, guys are getting some good distance out of it. But for me, that's going to be like, you know, put a can on it and probably be a truck gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
So. I want to buy one of those things, man. I have a couple ARs. I have a couple pistols. I don't own a shotgun right now. But I'd like to buy one. Next one I buy, it'll be a Red Arrow or like a Rocker.
I think so too.
So
it'd be nice to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And when I got, you know, when I got out of policing, it's weird how I associated a gun with the job, and I wanted out of the job so bad. I was done with it. I didn't even carry a gun, you know, anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even have one in my truck. I just, you know what I mean? I was like, I don't even want handguns or guns around
just
me
away
whatsoever.
From
yeah.
Even no worry from like stuff you did on the job or something, like somebody coming at you.
Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati compared to Iowa. I had no worries. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Drive out here.
Yeah. I'm like, I went from Compton to Mayberry. Right. So, but now that I've been out of it 5 years, I'm like, you know what? I actually do like guns. And I do like handguns. I've never been like a Tackleberry kind of guy where I had like a million guns. But I like guns.
Yeah.
So I've been starting to slowly but surely pick up you know, a few more.
Yeah, I think I will too. You know,
it's a good time to do it too.
It's a good time to do it. And I don't know what, I'm sure they're backed up just like every other gun manufacturer. But.
Yeah. I mean, even myself, like doing the marketing stuff, you know, with Kip and them and Kat, I'm probably still going to be waiting 10, 12, 16 weeks.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
that 300 blackout to show up.
So you need, if you're going to buy one through Red Arrow, hop on.
Yeah, do it now. You know, and U.S. manufacturer,
that's cool. He got into that. That's kind of
it's neat. Yeah,
it's something like I didn't see coming, but I've seen pictures of the. I might have seen one in person at Chase's at Rubline.
Yeah, you probably did.
But from what I've seen online and stuff, they're badass.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice guns.
Dude, I kind of just want to flex on people I know.
Like, remember that badass one? Like you put the pistol in the stock, and it was like a.
No, I don't think so.
Who shot it?
Oh yeah, that wasn't a Red Arrow though.
Oh, it wasn't.
I don't think so. Maybe it was.
It was badass, though. I know that.
No, I thought that was some... maybe it was a Red Arrow. I'm done talking because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're good. And just good people. You know, I met Kip and Kat back through my Wicked days. Mm-hmm. Wicked Tree Gear sponsored Red Arrow TV for several years. So I got to know him really well then. And, you know, Kip's dad was a police officer. And I've kind of always kind of, you know, connected on that. And
yeah.
And like I said, man... The dude keeps his nose clean. You don't ever hear anything negative about him.
He's funny.
Yeah. I mean, he's
easy to talk to.
He was cool as hell on the podcast, man. That was a show we worked on for a while and just schedule conflicts and stuff.
To pin him down, that's tough.
He opened up like all about his like Lyme disease stuff. Yeah. Uh-huh. I never told anybody about this. And here I am telling on a podcast. I'm like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. That was a rough deal. It hit him pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. But that's cool, man. I mean, it's something he's bounced back, and he loves the outdoor industry. Yeah, and you never hear anything negative about him.
No. You don't hear anything bad. And like I said, he's kept his nose clean. He's always a super nice guy. And we actually kind of started talking about doing something together about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of went cold for a little while. Then it kind of – we brought it up again. Then it went cold for a little while.
It's kind of how, like, long-term relationships work. I don't know. It just seems that way, like, when it dances like that.
Well, think about any one-night stand if it turned into a relationship.
That's a good point.
You know, hey. Oh, boy.
Solid point.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, that's what it is, right?
Right.
You kind of see each other a little bit. Yeah,
court each other a little bit. Get to know each other a little bit.
Do a little dance.
Come back. Oh, you're still here. Good to see you again. How you been? How's your mom?
Yeah.
Tell the fam and said hi.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of them. Unlike Doug over here, he's just Duck Guy Doug.
Yeah.
Just get them in, get them out.
Do what you do.
You got to move around.
Yeah.
Move around.
Get mixy with them 190s.
Dominant Buck over here.
Hey.
Checking out new spots.
Just sniffing out rub lines.
Mobile. You know how I roll, ladies.
Mobile.
But that's funny. So
well, congrats on that partnership. That's kick ass.
That one's cool. And even, you know, like kicking off the Grand Slam, new partnership with Hoyt Archery.
No. Oh, yeah. I saw you post something, but I haven't talked to you about this.
I know.
What's up with that? So, like, you kind of tried some bows and stuff like that. And whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I shot prime bows for the last 5 years. And man, I'm loyal. Like, when mm-hmm. I'm loyal, I'm loyal. And I'm loyal to a fault. And I didn't even shoot any
loyal
bows.
To a fault.
For a couple of years. And I just thought, man, I'm in here. Whatever they do, they're doing. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to shoot some other bows. And, you know, as I've said before, it's people first, product second.
Yeah.
But they both have to be fucking awesome, as I say.
Yep. Very fair.
So.
Which is hard to do.
It is. And it got to the point where I just thought it was time for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to change things up. I started looking at all the different brands. The first thing I did is I shot all the bows.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to have a baseline. And I liked the Elites. I liked the PSEs. I liked the Hoyts. I liked the Bowtex.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the Matthews. I mean, there's a lot of bows I really liked. And those five was my top five.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were almost splitting hairs, the difference.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm like,
You're nitpicking.
Yeah, I'm like, mm-hmm. God, I was like... I would have to shoot these all in sequential order to really tell you what I do and don't like, you know?
Yeah. Or you had to shoot them for a long time.
Exactly.
And then be like, this is what I don't like.
Yep. Yeah. Really nitpick them.
Cause I know after like 3 months of shooting it, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you start to pick up something else, you know? But then I start looking at like the marketing side of things and like what brands did I feel like I aligned with,
mm-hmm.
you know, my brand fit well with. Mm-hmm. And Hoyt for me was the one that kind of stood out. And so anyways, I talked to the folks at Bowtech a little bit, and like I said, then kind of talked to the people at Hoyt a little bit. And once we sat down and got on the phone and started having a conversation, it was just natural. Like, I wasn't selling them. They weren't selling me. And then they made the guys that I talked to over there, they made one of the coolest comments after we talked about year one. They were like, yeah, this just isn't going to work. And I'm like, well, like, shit. Like, I thought this was good. Like, yeah. I thought you were digging me. I was digging you, right, you know. Right. And then they were like, we're going to need a multi-year deal.
Oh.
And I was like, my dog. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like it.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the best thing you could have said, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So that was good to lock that up, you know, for a couple of years. So, yeah, that was another change. And then I want to point out Bedford cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with Bedford for a while, and that was another new one that came on board, kind of stepped up a little bit. So any of you guys that are listening that want to get into filming your mm-hmm. hunts, self-filming, GoPros, DSLRs, camcorders, drones, whatever, you can jump over to Bedford Cameras and use the code Johnny Utah, no spaces.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take 5% off your order.
It's like a retailer?
Yep.
No kidding.
They have 7 brick and mortar locations and an online store.
Oh, no shit.
As well. Arkansas, Oklahoma, they're kind of all over the place.
No kidding. Yep. That's a good partnership for you, especially being in the film and photography game.
Yeah. And, you know, anybody that knows anything about electronics knows that there is no markup in electronics.
Yeah. Right.
So 5% is like a typical 25% off.
For sure.
Normal shit.
It's kind of like you go buy a Mac computer, no matter where you go, it's the same price type
thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. So, the folks at Bedford Camera are cool. If you call them and you say, hey, I heard about you from Arrowwild TV or John Mulligan, Johnny Utah.
Listen to podcast number or whatever from Working Class with Johnny.
Exactly. Yeah. Be like, hey, here's the deal. Like, this is what I want to do. They're super nice people. They'll coach you into what camera you need
for what you want to do.
Yeah, they don't try to upsell you. They just get you.
Oh, you
into
don't want that.
Good,
you want this.
Yeah, they right. get you into a good piece that's going to work for you. And like I said, mention you know Johnny Utah. They'll take off 5%. But
that's pretty cool.
So they came on board, and you know for them it's good because on Johnny Utah side of things, the Arrowwild side of things, and the Johnny Utah Creative side of things.
Yeah,
you know, I use their camera equipment on all three of those brands
for sure. Yep. Kick ass, man. What a way to start off 2021.
Yeah, like I said, bringing on some new people. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm not hateful at all. It's always good to grow.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. And it's cool to, like, expand your network and meet people, man. Like, I talked to a guy today. I talked to him on the phone for a while, a guy I watched growing up just in and out of, like, some of the Real True videos. I'll shout him out, Philip Culpepper.
Yeah.
Awesome dude, man. I never talked to him in my life. Talked to him on the phone for like an hour today, just bullshitting with him, you know, just cool. talking. And then I got to thinking, like, man, that's my, you know, podcasting's fun, but like what we do is networking. And that's why it's so much fun. And it's probably why it has for me, and I don't know if you guys, you know, Austin and Doug, you guys are newer to the podcast game than I am, but it's like the network side of things just keeps it refreshing because I enjoy talking to like-minded people.
Yeah, so, just meeting new people and talking to them.
Yeah, but it's all like good people for the most part in the hunting industry. And I don't know. I'm sure if I was in whatever other industry in hunting, maybe it would be the same, or you know, because you have the same interest. But, I mean, that's my favorite part. So you get to expand. I just use that as an example. I could just got to like virtually meet him, you know?
Yeah.
But a different company and they're good people and you can work together. It makes it more fun. It brings something new. It's more refreshing. So it's pretty cool. And it's cool that people like see an opportunity in you. And then likewise, you know,
well, I mean, like we talked about with saturated markets, if there's 5 million people that are all doing the same shit and I'm going to come hang out with you guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though there's other podcasts out there, but I know you guys.
Yeah,
it's
beneficial for everybody.
I have a relationship with you guys. I've hung out with you guys outside of business, and I didn't want to hurt you, kill you. I'm like, I can't wait to hang out with them again. Those are cool dudes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
See, so that's what's awesome.
That's the networking side of things. And you know, like the photography game, I've met people that are like, well, how come this photo was better than that guy's photo, but that guy's got more likes to it? Sometimes it is the name attached to the bottom of the photo.
Yeah.
You know,
or who you tag or whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes that's what it comes down to.
Definitely. Yeah. It's, I don't even know if you call that deep I don't know if that's deep level. That was like, it's all marketing to a point, but it's more, I mean, networking's kind of in that, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting, man, but it is fun. Just like getting to mix it up with everyone. Cause through podcasts, we know people from every angle of the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that we've had real conversations. Well,
how far are you guys over 400?
We're in the mid 430s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
I knew it was over four a little bit. And
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you guys are networking with a lot of people.
Yeah. That's like minimum hour conversations for the most part, right. You know?
Yeah.
And I like to think we do them more. I mean, there's an agenda. Like we're asking you questions and shit that might not be in the exact way we'd ask them if we weren't recording, but it's still genuine conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know any shit about, I didn't know there was a catfishing industry. Catmaster. Beginning of this.
Catmaster.
Motherfucker. And before this, I wasn't like, tell me about, let's talk about the Catmaster.
Right.
You know, we have bullet points we want to hit, but
yeah,
that's real conversation. I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah.
But,
that'd be fun to enter.
Yeah.
Just me enter cold.
How many people go to it? Two a team?
So you can have up to three guys on a boat.
Catmaster.
Yep. And then
we should do it.
We should get a working class Catmaster.
It's like maybe anywhere from 500 to 1,000 to enter.
How much?
Like 500 to 1,000.
Oh, really?
For a boat.
Working class, got that right.
We can get this.
Yeah.
Hey, we got an old John boat. Just get the shittiest little John boat.
I got a real piece of shit we can bring down there.
Dude, and it's like the PGA. Like, they pay down. Like,
oh, really?
When I saw like one tournament, you know, they're paying like checks. 50 grand. And I was like, oh, that's 50 grand to first. Like, what second? 2 grand. And they're like, oh, no. Like, even 10th place got $1,000.
No kidding.
I'm like, are you shitting me? I want to get entered into
that's
this.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, what you've if got a one class in five chance of getting in the money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. What if we go down there with the shit working class of John Boat and just spank everybody?
It's happened.
People are just hauling past us.
Like a lucky punch type.
Yeah we just got to get lucky one time. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get big fish.
Get 100-pounder.
A lot of those tournaments will pay like 2 grand for like just the big whoever catches the big fish.
Yeah, but my dumb ass to be out there with a Mickey Mouse fishing rod trying to catch
snapping rods.
We're just going to watch whatever Johnny does, and then we're going to go do that.
We're going to go chum the water.
It takes some good photos. I'm going to be on Instagram doing this pinch and zoom shit, seeing what people are using.
Yeah. No, it's super cool. So as soon as I said that I was like, I'm going to do a catfishing episode, I reached out to a couple of the companies that I've gotten to know through the catfishing tournaments, and I was like, look, I'm going to do a catfishing episode. You guys want any action on this? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually picked up a couple of sponsors, product sponsors and some monetary sponsors for the episode. I'm not making any money, but I mean, I'm covering my,
you got
my
your gear
and my gear, my fuel and that kind of stuff. And, they're going to get promotion. And again, they're getting, my audience is getting pitched catfishing, which has never been pitched before.
Yeah.
So it's like, think of every time you saw,
I'm going to watch a lime shit about
green truck.
Yeah.
You remember that shit the next day because you've never seen it before.
Dude, you got me sold on catfishing right now.
Let's
like,
go catfishing.
Let's go catfishing.
I live right on the Mississippi. I got a spot.
Let's go. We should go. I want to do that. When's the best time to go catfishing right now? Like this
night, right?
Not for blues now. Yeah. I mean, this is all a good time. Yeah.
Hey,
I mean,
you know what's
September
funny?
September to now.
I know a guy. We should all get together here. So I work with him. He's friends with the Johnsons. I consider him a work buddy.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy Ailes. He just bought a cabin right on the river. You know him?
I know the name.
Kind of a wild fucker, but he's got a cat. He's a river rat. He's been wanting to take us out on his boat, Bowfish, and he's got this big, long like boat with lights and shit on it.
Cool.
But he's got a cabin right on the river. We can go down there and go catfishing.
There we go.
Is there a van, too?
I'm sure he's got a van. He's the type of dude to have a van.
Some moonshine, too.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, dude. Anyway, I don't know where we got off on that tangent, but back to catfishing. See, that's, you got us interested in catfishing.
Well, so how all of this actually started is with Sea Ark boats.
Mm-hmm.
Sea Ark they make all aluminum boats, and they are to catfishing like what Ranger is to bass.
Okay.
And
I understand that analogy.
I ended up going down to Florida, like Floribama area last year, and shot all of their 2021 catalog photos of their new boats.
No kidding.
So that's kind of what kicked all this into motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Catmasters tournament director was like, oh, you're the same photographer that did the Sea Ark boats. Well, you do know that Sea Ark is our main primary corporate sponsor of our tournament.
Perfect.
Networking. You know what networking, I mean? That's, yep. I had a handshake there before I even met the guy.
Right. 100%.
So of course I played that card, you know?
Yep. Well, you got to.
Yeah. So it's
who,
it's
me?
Been good.
Oh, me. Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, that was me.
That
yeah.
was me.
Yeah.
The boats.
Yeah. So, anyways, so that was kind of what got that thing going. And again, it's another little side hustle outside mm-hmm. of, outside of hunting, go where people aren't, you know?
Yeah.
Take notes, people.
I like that.
Quit trying to like do and work with the same damn companies that everybody else is that's trending.
Yeah, this is like, a blue collar class podcast.
Yeah, like pave your own damn way.
Damn.
Like I feel bad for Sam Soholt because I mean I'd be thinking there's going to be somebody that's going to go get a damn school bus and they're going to paint it up and they're going to be like innovation public land school bus.
Think about Whitetail Adrenaline.
Yeah.
They've yep. been doing it forever, the public land thing. Now uh-huh. everyone's like, public land, who are you guys?
Exactly.
They're like, Jared Shuffler's like, hey,
we're the godfathers
kiss my
of this.
Ass. Yeah, I own all of you
they're
in this.
Yeah, they're talking yeah. like, Jared, like, you ever heard of the hunting public? He's like, motherfucker, like, I've been yeah. doing this forever.
Which they get along, by the way, which sure. is cool.
You yeah. can't flex on that guy.
No, you can't no, flex on Jared.
No, Jared's a beast.
Even yeah. if he wears a fedora for his party hat, I yeah. still respect him.
That's yeah. why you can't flex on him.
You can't.
Yeah. You can tell that guy. Yeah, that guy
shamelessly wears it. Yeah. I love it,
he's
dude.
He's a beast. And, you know, like Chansey, you know, Chansey showed up at my house a couple years ago and stayed with me and the wife for like 3 days.
No shit.
Just showed hung out. Up. Yeah, just hung out for like 3 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a rambling man, dude.
That guy's
he's
a legend in his own right.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. One of the funniest humans. Like, he left, and I looked at my wife, and I was like, my ribs hurt.
Oh, yeah.
My cheeks and my ribs are hurting from laughing.
Biggest
so hard.
Personality in the game.
If he had his own YouTube channel, he'd dominate
to.
It.
I would be.
He does it all, too. He
fishes. Everything. Fishes,
I would probably huh? give him free promotion on the podcast yeah. if he had his own YouTube
yeah.
channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I mean,
he's genuine.
Him, you know, he's like, we're going to get out there on the dance floor. We're going to get up in the jungle.
I've yeah. been on this mean? Dance floor before.
Yeah.
Or to start peacocking around.
Yeah. He is so funny.
Bunch of herd bowls.
His conversational skills with people are so on point. Like, I don't, it's like the little things he does that I pick up. I'm like, man, I wish I was more outgoing yeah. because of yep. like talking to him. Like, if I don't know Doug and I'm talking to him, he'll like hit you on your shoulder while you're laughing and then like make you feel more a part
yeah,
of
yeah.
like
yeah.
like he's oh, good yeah. at that type of stuff,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. So true story about Chansey, him and I are on the phone one day and he's like, hey, I'm pulling into a gas station, I'll call you back when I get done.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't hold my breath and hold people to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like 3-4 days had gone by and I'm like, well, I haven't heard from that fucker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm on Instagram scrolling, swiping, whatever, and I see this joker is down in Arkansas. And he's duck hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait a second. He was, oh, okay, whatever. A week goes by. He calls me. He's like, man, I forgot to call you back. He's like, I was pumping gas the other day, and these old boys showed up next to me, and they look like some good old boys with some marsh camo on. And I mm-hmm. said, what are y'all doing? Well, we're heading to the airport. We're getting ready to fly down to Stuttgart, and we're going to go do some duck hunting. And next thing you know, they invite me to go get on their private jet with them. And I'm down in Arkansas duck hunting with these guys I just met pumping gas.
No shit.
Holy like,
shit.
The dude's a rambling man. Like, yeah. he's wild.
That is
I mean?
Rambling
like,
man.
And
yeah.
I was like, who does that? Who meets somebody at the gas station and gets on a private jet? And they're traveling all over.
I think that's amazing. That's why he gets along with Kerry Owen so well. We heard him talk about Kerry Owens. Kerry's a friend of mine from back home, and he's the same way. Like, he lives in Alaska
uh-huh.
and does his fishing thing up there, and then he'll come back here for whitetail season, and that guy's just always moving around. So now it kind of makes sense why yeah, those yeah. two guys get along so well.
Yeah,
I find people like that really interesting because, I don't know, I think I'm a homebody. I probably am, you know. I like my space. I like my nest here. But I also like to do things, but then come back to the nest. But like, I'm not trying to go to Alaska for half the year, then come back, yeah. you know, but
I always look at it like if I was a single guy, that's the kind of life that I would like to lead. That's what I've yeah. always thought.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Being a homebody, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I've done some traveling for deer, not a lot, but where you're in Brazil for 3.5 weeks, then you come back, go straight to Canada, then you come back, then you go to Arizona, then you're in California, then you're in Idaho, then Montana, then up to Edmonton, Canada. Like, I did that for a couple of years. And once you're out there and you do it, it's kind of like addictive.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, you're kind of like, man, I could do that forever. I'm yep. good. But,
well, and, you know, like we talked about it the last time I was here on the podcast with you guys. I was kind of a homebody. Mm-hmm. And then once I started traveling and you start doing it, like I said, I love my wife to death, but man, where I'm happy is when I'm out rolling around in the truck and I'm hitting state to state to state.
Yeah.
I love it.
Cause you're kind of just
I'm
vibing.
Addicted to it. I'm absolutely addicted to it. I'm it's like without trade shows and this winter, I'm telling you, I'm depressed. I'm ready to roll, man.
COVID hurt a lot of traveling type people like that.
I'm ready to get out. I mean, this year is booked solid. Grand Slam. I've got some other little projects going on this summer that are still kind of developing. But then we get into Montana antelope, Idaho elk.
Yeah.
Delaware whitetails.
Delaware.
Ooh. Never heard of that one.
What?
Exactly.
What the fuck is Delaware?
60-inch velvet bucks.
Damn, son.
That is a sleeper.
You're going to be trending on YouTube in no time.
That is a sleeper right there.
Damn.
Delaware whitetails, and then I drive through the night to be able to hit Kentucky's velvet opener. Then I have to haul the mail back to Iowa, change gear over. You know, then I'll head Idaho elk, then come back, and then finally – hit Iowa whitetails.
God damn, son. Yep. You might have the season of a lifetime, though.
Yeah, and then finish up the year December in Canada for moose.
Wow. No shit?
Yeah.
You got a moose tag?
Yeah.
God damn, Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a jam-packed year. So
kick ass. That's exciting.
I mean, you know, last year I'm jealous. Short of my elk. Got close, as Chansey would say. I was on the dance floor right. In the jungle.
Yeah, yeah.
But just 15 yards and had no shot. And it was one of those ethical decisions. Just not.
Yeah, you don't want to just send pull. One.
Yeah. So hey, came close.
Tell me this. With all the business you got going on, June 12th is the shoot. Tell me you're going to make the shoot.
Yeah, it's in.
Okay, good.
It's in.
Nice.
It's in.
I need you there shaking babies and kissing hands.
Yeah.
I'm not
missing it this year. I hated that I missed it last year where I had that photo school thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't set the dates for that. I put your shoot in the calendar, and then I'll set my dates for a photo school.
There we go. You don't want to miss it.
After. I know
that.
I'm looking forward to it.
You know, it's... It's a regular 3D shoot with some spice.
Yeah,
it's really odd. We don't have mountains and cliffs.
Yeah.
But I want people to just vibe and have a good time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. No, it'll be a really, really good time.
I'm hoping to have, like, by the time this all happens, like, the big time tent's going to be up there. The gator tent's going to be up there. I'm hoping to have, like, this whole meet and greet vibe area. You're going to be out there. Kyle Weider said he's going to come bullshit with people and hang out. We'll see if he does that. Clint says he's going to come out. We'll see if he can get away. But it'd be kind of fun to just bullshit with people and have a good time up there.
Oh yeah.
So that's the plan.
Hell yeah.
We get to shoot it. I think I ran through half of it last year.
Yeah, I got through half.
But I'm up there just kind of hanging out with people and having fun and relaxing.
Yeah.
By the time we coordinate everything, when it gets up to the crunch time, I kind of just want to hang out. You know, but it is fun to like shoot in the group and stuff. But I just hate it when I'm out on the course and they're like, we're looking for you. We need to do for this. Yeah. And I'm like, God, I was.
You guys have walkie-talkies?
No, but we should.
we should at least have like.
Go for Kurt. We need you to target 8.
I think we're getting walkie-talkies this year.
You need because I do remember Kurt was like shooting and like people were like, hey, where's Kurt?
And you need,
like,
oh, you need vests too, like Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah,
safari vest.
Yeah,
safari shorts, like hiked up abnormally high.
I'm down for that.
Get on the rogue ridge and just cruise through there.
There you go.
That's a good idea, actually.
If you're gonna do it up, you got to do it like Total Archer Challenge.
I should.
We should just like slowly keep upgrading the shoot to like crazy shit.
Yeah,
just absurd. It's also unnecessary. Satellite phone.
Yeah.
What you do is you go to the point until somebody gets stuck with an arrow, then you back it down. Just
you got
to
bring it back after that.
We've hit our peak.
There was an old peak. An old cop I worked with back in the day. He was lazier and shit. And he's like, here's what I did, Rook. When I started my career, you got to start off slow. And then you just back her down from there. He's like, that's how you don't get burnt out.
I mean, he's probably honest.
And I was like, you're not wrong.
Start off slow and then back it off.
Just back her down.
Sounds like my job.
But he was that stereotypical guy, like, pants tailored. And you always know which way he was laying every day.
Yeah. I wanted to go to be a cop eventually. I didn't know what. But I went to, like, did law enforcement classes and stuff. And
You thought better of it? Thank God.
Well, I respect what you guys do and everything if you're listening out there, but I just decided probably not for me. Well, I'll be honest. I was a hothead back in the day. Me and my best friend were both going to do the same thing together, and we were both pretty hotheaded. I'm like, I'm going to end up hurting somebody and then going to jail.
No, and that's and that's a legitimate thing. I mean, I've got a really, really bad temper, and it was one of those things I really had to work on.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of times I came close.
My buddy was a military police. Like, he was up that far, you know, and he I think he broke a dude's shoulder one time, like threw him down. And I think it was justified, but he's a big guy, and it was an accident. Like, he put he put his knee on this guy's back to get him down and cuff him and broke his shoulder blade and got in, like, big trouble. And he's like, man, this ain't for me. I can't do this stuff, you know. But it was justified. It was, like, at a party, and it was, like, frantic. So he had to, like, I don't know all the details.
Sure.
But he ended up breaking the guy's shoulder. And,
you know, shit happens.
Remember, it was a problem.
Walk it off.
Yeah.
But anyway,
rub some dirt on it.
Don't do shit to get arrested.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. You hate the cops? Cool. Don't do dumb shit.
Yeah. It's like, I just.
It's simple math.
I respect cops, but I'm not trying to mess around and get caught up on something. So if I'm there, I'm just like, hey, dude, I'm here. You do what you got to do here, and then let me on my way.
Yeah.
Oh, thought we were having a good time.
Here's the thing.
1% of cops probably want to really, really get into some shit. Every day.
Yeah, yeah.
The other 99% are like, you know what? I have a job to do. Got to keep the peace.
You probably just want to hang out.
Don't get a call today. It'll suck and it'll be boring, but I'm okay. That's an okay boring.
Yeah.
Go home with the family.
I just wanted to sit like behind a building, read a couple of hunting magazines.
Right.
Maybe take a few drunks to jail.
Yeah.
If I caught some people that were selling drugs to kids, lock them up.
Right.
If somebody's doing some break-ins or murders, yeah, let's collar them and take them in.
Right, right.
Other than that, I just want to go home.
I think I'd be the dude probably, like, I'd probably change my mindset and be out there vibing, playing basketball with kids.
Yeah.
Because if you can, like, interact and play basketball with kids.
Yeah.
I'd probably be playing basketball with kids all the time.
Well, that was always my – that's kind of how I got into the undercover stuff was – my version of community-oriented policing was getting to know the community. Arrest the shitheads, let some of the people go with some warnings.
Yeah.
Then when it came to the narcotic side, I'm like, hey, I need to know who's slinging that Jimmy crack corn over there.
Right,
you owe me a favor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that one time?
Yeah. So that's kind of how all that started, and that's –
Can I ask you a question quick? And then maybe you can't talk about it, whatever.
No.
But, like, to get undercover, you probably had to go through the ranks to get to undercover. Or, like, do they ever – well, guess what I'm getting to. Do they ever just hire some dude who's, like, got a clean record, but he's, like, tatted up and stuff? Like, dude, you're perfect for an undercover
gig. I mean, you got to be a cop.
You got to be a cop first,
Yeah, you got to be a cop.
Trying to get a job.
I'm just like, hey, hit me up.
Now, you can be an informant, and that pays good. A lot of times, informants can make $100 per deal. Per felony buy.
Sounds like a snitch.
Yeah, a snitch.
Hey, I didn't say it. You did.
Informant is the classier term.
You rat bastard.
I'm just saying, I'm a good person, but I ain't no snitch. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so we would always call them CIs, confidential informants.
And yeah.
And we started calling them CSs, you know, confidential snitch. And then we were like, he's a CR.
Can you be a great dude but not be a snitch? I think you can because that's me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, we had people.
I don't know anything to snitch on.
Well, and we had people that were like, look, I'm not into dope. I don't have any charges to work off. But if you'll pay me $100, I'll go buy crack
I'll go get into some dope.
$100 I'll just start getting into
shit. That's not a lot of money. That ain't enough money for me to get into crack.
But we had one guy, we were like, all right, dude, you got to calm down. Like, you're doing 5-6 deals a day. You're making $500-$600
bro,
a day.
You gotta,
really?
You got to start slow. And
they're
going to
find
down.
You out.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
He likes crack.
Did he end up dead?
Yeah. No. I never lost a single informant. I did get a call one time from a guy, nickname, we called him Dig. And phone rings. I'm like, ah, man, what does he want? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he also learned the system. So he would be like, he'd get some like low rent dope dealer. And he's like, I'll just buy, like, he's a guy that really doesn't sell crack a lot, but I know he's got some crack and I can convince him to sell some of his crack and I'll make $100.
Yeah.
I'm like, man. No, dude, like, scale up.
Taking the low fruit.
Yeah. He was going for low hanging fruit all the time. It was easy.
Dummies.
To get paid.
So I was like, dude, I was like, you gotta go up the scale. So he calls. I'm like, what the fuck's he want? You know? So I'm like, Dig, what's up? And he's like, I got a guy. I'm like, yeah. All right. So we go by. And I tell him, hey, Dig, you're a little hot right now. You might want to take a little vacation. Go visit somebody over the river. You know, just let these cases come through. Let's keep you cool. And then he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He got greedy.
He'd get that paper.
Yep. He's stacking paper. So I got a call one day, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck does he want? I answer the phone. I'm like, Dig, what's up? He's like, have me, please. Have me. And I can hear like,
oh, he's you know running. What
I mean? He's running like a motherfucker. And I can hear him in the background. We got your ass. You're a dead man. You know what I mean? Oh. And I was like, oh, my God. So finally, we have to do an extraction. We go get him, pull him out. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you went back to the same place that you were buying dope. Like, you burned like 65 dope dealers in this housing community, and you went right back. Ain't nobody running me up out of my hood. I'm like, Dig.
Get a little smart about that,
yeah,
Dig.
Like, yeah, they literally just ran you out of the hood.
Yeah, like, they just listened to all
you found
the,
out.
The audio recordings. You know what I mean?
They got you.
Yeah, they like, you're had. Like, you're done.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
You cut off.
You made 20 grand.
So old Dig got found out.
Dig got found out, man. So he had to retire from the...
Help me,
from,
please!
From the confidential snitch business.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, good money there. Not my gig. I got too many tattoos for that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think our nicknames would be if you had to make them up?
Dude, you're fucked, Doug.
Yeah, you would just be Dale, but that'd be too easy. That'd be you too know easy. What I mean?
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah.
Got a mustache, yeah.
Let's CPD mustache. Is what I call you.
Kurt, I just call him. I call Kurt just blue.
Blue, why?
Yeah, because you have like some of the bluest eyes like I've ever seen.
Oh,
yeah.
Blue,
white
over there.
Devil. Yeah, you'd
be
right.
Blue. And then it'd be easy because then you like I love movies, so and I love movie quotes. So anybody that knows me well enough, if I say something random, like it's from a movie. From a movie.
Is that what movie was
my
it?
Boy Blue?
You're my boy Blue.
Yeah. I'm a boy Blue. Right.
That's fair. That's fair. What would Chandler's be?
Ooh.
The Lord. That's what we call him.
It'd either be cowboy. Like, if you had an alter ego, you would be on a horse. You'd be, like, on that show Yellowstone.
That's a great observation, actually. I never saw that, but that's a good
like,
a
I might actually call you Dutton.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, Dutton. I've never seen Yellowstone because I don't know where to watch it.
Badass show.
It's Peacock, Paramount, Sling, actually. Every once in a while, Sling will do like a bonus marathon weekend. If you're quick,
really?
You can.
But you can search on Sling. I wonder if I could search on Sling and find
you
it.
You need to watch it.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
It's good.
Okay.
It's good. It's real good.
My wife and I looked for it and couldn't find it.
Got
so
old,
gave up.
Old Dutton over there.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. Yep. That's fair. Blue. I'll take blue. That's not bad. Yeah. I got these shiny blue eyes. You know what I'm saying? Just
Dale.
Dale.
Just Dale.
That's fun. I mean, what else you got? You got some hot topics going on?
Crack.
Shit.
You want me to bring some shit up?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, like, we were talking about, like, the way the industry is and saturation and saturated markets and stuff like that. And with, like, along with the whole hunting in public, which I have no problem with the hunting public guys.
Yeah.
They've done a great job.
Their name just says hunting public.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
You have to clarify, like, so hey, we're not hating on the hunting public.
Right,
it's just their name.
Yeah. So when I say hunting public, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good point. No, I mean, those guys have obviously commanded a big
audience.
They're
killing it.
They are killing it. Their affiliate links are killing it. Like,
for the record, I was worried that people were going to think we hated the hunting public because we talked about some controversy with like hunting public
land. Oh, hunting land. Public land.
Then, you know, and I'm sarcastic a lot, and people think take my sarcasm as like being serious.
They don't
like,
pick up on it.
And it's like, hey, little sarcasm there. Yeah. Maybe I need to like emphasize more on the sarcasm part.
Yeah.
But it's like, for the record, have nothing against hunting public guys. Actually, one of our hats, a random guy in one of their videos had our hat on, which I thought was rad.
Yeah.
They got a big reach. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, if they ever want to do a podcast, I'd be all for it. That'd be fun.
We should do a podcast with them.
I would do it. Definitely. So, but yeah, getting on that.
Yeah.
That's hunting.
So the other
hunting public ground thing.
Yeah. So the other kind of what I think is kind of another saturated thing in hunting is, hey, I'm a photographer. I'm a photog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's another thing that's gotten extremely saturated. And, you know, you have pages like Making Hunting Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike's been on here and Copper Plated Sixes and Hunt Domain. Funny guys. I converse with all three of those guys, you know, through social media and stuff. And now, for the record, 40% of their stuff I agree with.
Yeah.
60% I don't agree with all the time, and I think maybe they're reaching a little bit. But it's satire. It's funny. It's in the nature.
You got to understand the vibe.
Not every comedian is funny. Every bit is funny.
Right? Yeah.
They're going to have a few shticks 100% that are not funny. If it's Steve, it's like 90% is not funny. I love Steve.
Too, I know.
By the way,
we love him too.
He messaged me the other day.
I talked to Steve yesterday, actually.
We were talking gym and fitness, and you know what I mean? So yeah. I love him to death. But he'll find the humor in that.
That was good. 90% not funny.
Yeah.
But I had actually made a post one time here recently, and I was actually talking about making honey great again. And those guys doing the Lord's work
to
the point, calling out some stuff every once in a while. And I actually had somebody kind of in the industry reach out that I really, really respect. And they were like, hey, dude, like, you know, those guys aren't doing the Lord's work. Like, they're not doing anything positive for the industry. And I kind of took it from a position of, hey, just stay in your lane. Like, don't get into that shit. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like at the airport, if you see someone, say something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It always comes on the intercom.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's just it. Like, if we don't kind of police ourselves, then shit can run amok. And there's too many fake things going out there. Mm-hmm. There's too much. I'm not going to say that I don't give a shit if anybody high fence hunts or not. But don't high fence hunt. And then tell me you shot it on fucking public land with a slingshot.
That's the problem.
And you really did it with a 700-yard high-powered rifle.
Yep. That's the only problem.
Be proud of that, because that's actually an accomplishment, 700 yards, you know?
Yeah. I don't give a shit if you high fence hunt.
Right.
But exactly that.
Say you do it.
That's where the problem is, I think, for the most part, you know? I mean, they're ethics thing, but, you know, if you're on a 5,000-acre high-fence ranch where a deer never even saw the fence.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. That you do you.
Yeah.
You pay your price. Yeah. You go in there and you kill whatever, 200-something inch, whatever deer. Yeah, yeah, but I agree.
Yeah.
Do your thing, but don't trick me.
Right, right. So if they're calling out some stuff or pointing out some court cases about people speeding tickets and, you know, shit like that, like,
yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I've made the comment before. Tiger Woods.
Shout out to Tiger Woods. I think he just got in a car wreck and broke his leg.
Yeah.
He'll bounce back.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. So, like Tiger Woods, you know, he was in the news and back in the day, and he got all his drama.
He's a ladies' man.
Yeah, he's a ladies' man. You know? He's a little cavalier, you know, with the ladies. Now, he took a hit on that, and everybody hated him. And then a year later, everybody loves Tiger Woods again because it's social media. Yeah. Shit's so easily forgotten.
Yeah.
I'm dead battery on that. That's why that thing keeps kicking off. So, point being, people can do some dumb shit on the internet, on Instagram and Facebook. It's easily forgotten.
Yeah.
People move on to something else. Like I said, they get a speeding ticket, easily forgotten. Oh, what happened? Yeah. What? Hunting on preservation ground? What? You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh, you didn't have a tag for that deer? Oh,
that was years ago.
Oh, oops.
The clerk deleted it? Oh, yeah. Oh, they actually can't physically do that at a retail store location. Only the DNR can make a tag. Go
doesn't
away.
Work that way through the. The whole interwebs.
Yeah, but nobody cares. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I also, when I was a cop, I always had a quote that I would tell rookies. If you follow a preacher long enough, eventually he's going to forget to use the turn signal.
Mm-hmm.
If you hunt long enough, one of us is liable to make a mistake. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, you shouldn't be crucified for all mistakes.
No. I mean, you own up to it and move on. You know, if it's a mistake. Lee Lukoski's done a good job with some of his stuff in
he's
the past.
He's the example of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's gotten in
jumped
front
on it
of
it right away.
Yeah, got on it in front of it.
Hey, guys, you know? I fucked up.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, handle your stuff. You don't got to go to social media right away. Handle it and then be like, hey, guy, I got
to
be honest.
And don't go to social media and, like, lie about it or, you know what I mean? Have
that's
story.
The problem.
Yeah.
So, we did a Patreon exclusive podcast for our Patreon members. Uh-huh. We did that last week. So if you're top two, we have three tiers on Patreon. If you're top two, we did that. Well, poaching, we did a unpopular opinion where we bring up an opinion and then we talk about it. Well, the unpopular opinion was poachers can't help it. It's kind of a joke, but we use that to like bounce into interesting conversation. Yeah. And I threw in that I think Brackett could have saved his entire career by coming clean and being like, guys, I fucked up. I got caught up in the clout. Yeah. I got caught up in this industry thing and I messed up bad. Like, I'm going to do better.
You know, like in movies, sometimes like back in the DVD days, there'd be like the alternate endings of movies. So two scenarios for Brackett, for example, in that deal in Indiana, if he would have shot the first buck and then continued filming and been like, oh my God, look at that 170 class deer. I don't have a legal tag for it. Like, man, what a heartbreaker.
Skyrocketed his career.
Skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing, if he would have got in front of it and said, look, guys, in fear of losing sponsors, I got caught up in the hype.
Yep.
I needed to have a season anchored with a big deer, you know, for the show and for sponsors. And I did what I did. I'm sorry. It wasn't right. But this is what happened. And mm-hmm. this is why I did it. Could have put some salve on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
But instead,
I 100% agree with that.
Did not handle it the right way.
That was the move.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the move.
That was really the move.
I mean, that was the move. The power move would have been, you know, film it and say,
yeah,
all we can do is film it at this point.
Yeah, that would have been the real move.
That would have been a bump because the footage they would have got.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been killer.
Yep. But didn't take that path, unfortunately. So
I actually, you know, man, like we did our fair share of ripping him up on over that and whatever, and had some negative personal experiences. But if he came clean and backed it up, I think he could probably turn it around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, things about Brackett that you can't deny: the dude can shoot a bow.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Dude can shoot a bow.
One of the questions was, because I always said, hey, man, he motivates me. He's a good dude. I like the guy. He was a motivator to go shoot your bow.
Yeah, and the dude can manage land. He knows how to grow food plots to put
deer. That's what he does now, right?
Exactly. Yep. And so those are a couple of things that Chris does very well. You know, he definitely knew how to get on deer.
Did you know him personally when all the whole shit went down?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. I mean, we didn't talk all the time. We talked at shows and we had a lot of mutual friends. You know, Todd and him were actually really close.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were real good friends. So I knew him more through that. And, but yeah, I mean, and, you know, him and I, we've messaged back and forth a few times since that stuff. And I've actually talked about what he's doing now because I was genuinely curious.
Yeah,
what he was doing now. And it looks like he's doing some land management and some real estate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, you ought to get into land real estate. And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to keep on taking pictures. You know,
I'm good.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm what I'm doing now. Not saying now, speaking of saturation, there's another thing. Everybody seems to be a land manager selling real estate nowadays.
Popular.
I had a couple opportunities to dive into that.
Yeah.
And I politely denied it.
Yeah. I think if you have the networking and you're in an area and you have, because let's face it, real estate, selling life insurance, health insurance, it's all about you're a salesman.
Yeah.
I think if you can sell, you can sell and you can find success in it. But I think that's a market that is going to be very quickly gobbled up and there's not going to be enough land for agents.
Now, I will say this. When you hear something funny, I don't know if I ever told you guys about this. When I was 20 or 21, I had a legitimate sit-down interview at Brothers Restaurant in Rapid City, Illinois, right on the river, with two big dogs from Mossy Oak Properties. Before they I think they have an office in our area somewhere. They were going to put two offices in there, and I had a legitimate fucking interview with Mossy Oak Properties. And it was like this big deal, you know, get your license, come on, we'll hire you on Mossy Oak Properties. And I didn't do it. I was in school at the time, and I was gonna. And I wonder what happened if I did. Yeah. But
I considered it as well. That.
Yeah, I was like 20 or 21.
Damn.
Like a legit interview. And, I had to get my broker's license and all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But they at least heard me out, which is cool.
Sure.
You know. For being
there's a lot of money to be made there. If you're, like, say, if you're good at it, you can network.
Yeah.
You get a hold of some big farms. I mean, you can make a very comfortable living doing that. But
you sell one big farm. I mean, commission alone is huge.
Can make your year.
I know two guys that got into it in their late 30s. Jason Enders, one of my real close friends, was in my wedding and everything. And then Clark Cummings got in too. They actually work together now, which is kind of funny. Yeah. But not funny, but it's cool.
Yeah.
My brother still does it. He just kind of dabbles with it. So if he knows somebody that's selling a farm, like I just bought a farm and I bought it through him. So he got to make commission on the farm that I was buying. So it works out well for him in that case.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I mean, I can name. I mean, now there's one more. One, two, three, four, probably seven people within my region. Yeah. If I were to buy ground, that I could call.
Like you say, it's saturated.
Yeah, yeah, it's getting there. Yeah, it's definitely getting there. I think if there's a tie-in, like if you're working with a food plot company or you're doing some property consultation and you're a real estate broker,
that's the move.
I think that's the move because then you can combine the few. You don't have to sell as many properties, but then you can if you can pick up a couple of consulting clients.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy like right here, Chase Burns, does that. Mm-hmm. Local guy.
How far are we from like? Is it Arthur, Illinois?
Ugh, I've never heard of that.
Gaze, Illinois. That's where the real world office is. I know Don Higgins does some consulting.
That
in
might
Illinois.
Be south. I would imagine. I'm unfamiliar.
You know what? It is more like straight east of me because I'm north.
Yeah,
east.
So that's probably more into the Golden Triangle area from where we are.
Yeah. So he kind of he does some real estate and then has the consulting and then also he has the trifecta.
He provide. You want to buy some ground? Hey, listen, we
need to do plots here.
I got seed and I got management and I got equipment. Yeah, yeah right. That's the move.
Yeah.
That's the move. It's a trap.
I mean, if I was like a big time dealer, I'd be trying to get my real estate license as well.
Yeah.
Because it's just a complimentary product.
That, you know, that is a good idea. I never thought about that. That's
any of you big time reps out there, you know?
Yeah. I don't know any big time reps in our area, but we might be one.
There you go.
I guess working class could be a deal. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. Yeah. It'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, sure, they could set you up even as a non-stocking dealer.
Right.
Or a minimal stocking dealer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make this a hub for pickup.
Who knows what the future could hold?
Yeah.
We might be able to figure some stuff out here moving forward.
Yeah.
We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, that's cool. It's interesting, like, how many just different angles and stuff you can move on the outdoor industry. If you're passionate about it, you want to do it, you can channel your own way into this thing.
And that's just it. You know, people look at the outdoor space, and I get the questions. You guys probably get the questions. Hey, what's the best way to get into the industry? And, I mean,
Work more hours.
Yeah. I get tired, you know, and I get tired of answering the questions sometimes. And, I put this out lightly.
How about this question? Hey, how do you start a podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking Google it. I don't know. It's 2021. Google.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, it took you 5 minutes to type a message to me. Google will answer that shit in 3.7 seconds.
YouTube?
I don't care what shitty internet you have.
One thing I learned from – this is a cool thing. My buddy Jordan Johnson from Combination Creative has his own little like marketing media business.
Yep.
No matter if you can get to the end result you want to, no matter how you get there, that's all that matters.
It's a win.
Right? You know, it's like, well, it doesn't matter what Johnny Utah uses or what equipment we use to podcast. If you have a way to record however you can do it and get it out there and do it in a way you want to do it as far as quality is concerned,
right,
that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
You know, I get like comparing, you know, what equipment are you using, but, you know, we use a big ass mixer here with all the shit and, you know, a big headphone amplifier and all that. You don't really need that stuff anymore. I like this because it's classic, and I like knowing this. Like, what I know now and how to mix this stuff up is, like, the roots of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have all this fancy stuff that makes it easier. But if I get thrown into, like, a live show situation, I could probably mix it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm familiar with this, all the buttons.
Well, and that's the high and the low of the questions. It's what camera body and what lens did you use to take that photo? Oh, so you think that everything in that photo came from that body? If you have the same body and lens, you can take the same photo I did.
Right.
How about
right.
learn the fucking talent first?
Right.
You know,
learn the buttons.
Give me a $400 camera. You know what I mean? And I can make it work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always tell people outgrow your camera first before you go to a new camera.
For sure.
You know, be better than the camera. And these cameras are damn good. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, so it'll take you a while.
Yeah. I haven't outgrown my shit, you know, my camera equipment. It's still better than I am. So that's the other side where people think that it's all camera and it's easy. The other side of it is people, again, going back to this popular thing. He's another
bush. Thanks, Jeff.
He's another bush.
Oh, yeah. I was under the conversation over here.
Yeah. So the other thing is just.
I didn't want to interrupt him to ask for another beer.
The people that are just straight copying off of other people.
Yeah.
Or they want to be in that popular crowd so bad that they'll cling on to certain brands that are trending, and that's the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
I put something on my Instagram story the other day. I try not to vent and be a little bitch on Instagram stories sometimes.
Well, here's the spot to do it though, because we can conversate.
I'm all right right now. But what frustrates me is I'll have some buddies that they will be all in hitting that like button in the comments of like these super popular brands that they don't even like. No offense, these popular brands, they don't even know that they're hitting the like button. But they come to me to ask me, what's the best way to market this product? What's the best way to shoot this photo? What's the best way to do this? Like shit that's really going to help their careers or help their business or their brand or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, go ask those assholes.
Right.
Because you're giving them all the love. So go ask them. See if they'll answer you. You ain't giving me, I haven't gotten a single like from you, but you want to ask me like how to grow your brand so you can be competition for me?
That's an interesting kick. I like that, man. I like that starting to this conversation here because that is, I feel like we might get a little bit of that. I feel like maybe a little different here. I'm trying to think on how to tackle this and not sound like an ass. But you got to understand it's like a different perspective for each person. We get guys that listen to the pod, and there's not a lot. Guys that listen to the podcast, but they're the first dudes to comment some shitty stuff to like, if they could twit, like, example, Chandler, what podcast was it? By the way, Johnny, you got this other camera going. Since this one died, you just want to ride through it and we'll just film a teaser.
Yeah. Is that one, I need to check that one?
No, I don't know if we're there yet. We're within a few minutes, but I just didn't know if you want to keep that rolling or I don't know how wide this lens is.
It's pretty wide.
Okay. Well, then we got a little bit.
Yeah.
What episode did we talk?
I think it was the Make Hunting Great Again episode because it was the Sitka discount and the sending on the fence line.
Oh, that was.
The guy
okay.
had the issue with.
So the guy in the group brought up the whole what's worse, sitting on the fence line and hunting, and then Chandler brought up he used his buddy's military discount to buy his Sitka camo, his high-end camo for his moose hunt that's coming up. And where am I going with it? Okay, so somebody made this post, what's worse, sitting on the fence line or using a discount to hunt Sitka camo. And I think he was trying to like, maybe he was trying to do good by engaging conversation, but it's really felt like to everybody comments.
He tried to spin it like we were basically dissing on vets by using their code.
Oh, I actually saw yeah, I was kind of following some of
but
that.
Then you got your first, there's a few comments in there where you know dudes that are following everything we're doing, but they're throwing those comments to kind of like, oh, somebody's going to already initiate them under the bus. Let me push them under the bus a little bit more. And then you got, there's a crackhead lifting up the bus because he drove, you know, the Clayton Bigsby episode. Not Clayton Bigsby. Or
Chappelle. Red Balls.
Yeah, Red Balls. What's his name? Tyrone Bigum.
Tyrone.
You know, you got all of our listeners, which are the crackheads lifting up the bus, which we love you. I'm not calling you crackheads, but it's just a funny analogy. But, you know, you have those dudes that are like, what's up?
Keep going.
Okay. I was gonna hit that. But there's, I don't know. I guess I don't really know how I was like leading into that. But you have your guys that listen and support you, but are so willing to throw you underneath the bus.
The author was kind of hoping that everybody jump on the bandwagon and kind of chime in there, and it kind
of
backfired.
But even some of the comments, you see guys that they're the same dudes that ask to be on episodes that think they deserve a spot on this episode with our schedule, but then are the same dudes to throw in a snarky comment because they're mad we haven't asked them to be on an episode too. And that's just our perspective of like, that's just like some of the layers of things we see from this. And me being just, I feel like I'm a pretty real dude, like, and maybe perspective is not how I feel, but I feel like I'm a pretty straight shooter.
Yeah.
If I see that shit, you're fucking out. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in there to just throw us under the bus in our own group, why the fuck would I fuck with you in any facet of at all? Like, kick rocks. If someone in there is like, hey, dude, I support you guys. Even though I don't agree with everything you say, I appreciate your honesty and how straightforward you are. I'd much rather have that
and that's all you can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if I got that clear on like what I was getting at. There's a lot of confusing angles and like deep ways to look at it.
Well, and you know, me being a Sitka ambassador, you know, I was actually one of the founding members of that whole Sitka ambassador team when they started that deal, 6 years ago. And there's a lot of people that claim Sitka that are not getting a discount. they're paying full retail because so weird. Badly they want to be a part of that group.
That's weird to me.
It's like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about the FOMO thing, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are so want to be a part of something so bad for clout to look like they're something on Instagram. Like, okay, one, go talk to a therapist. Like, if that's where you're at in life, you know what I mean? Like, it's therapy time.
From my perspective, I'd rather see someone be like, listen, I paid full price for Sitka because this is why, and I like, like, be an influencer that way.
Yes, yeah.
Because then 100%. Sitka might be like, whoa, this guy just, so he paid full price, and here he is talking about, this is why I paid full price, because I think honesty is just it. It boils down to that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and here's the thing, like, with every brand, there's going to be people that love it. There's going to be people that hate it. There's going to be people that hate it that secretly know it's good, but they're still going to hate it. I'm sponsored by Real World, but I know Big Time makes good shit. Right. I've never once in my life had anything negative to say about Big Time.
Right.
I can't.
And I don't know anything to say anything negative about Real World.
Because it's good shit.
Nor would I.
You know, but it's the people that I know, and it's the product that I use. Hey, Don and Terry are good people, and they have a good product. Cool. Awesome. We're working together.
Yeah.
You know, if I knew, is it Joe?
Joe Humphries.
Yeah, yeah. If I knew Joe personally and got to use their product.
You're going to meet Joe at the shoot. You'll love him.
Yeah. So we've
never met him?
Well, we've had a conversation before.
Yeah.
We actually talked during my Tecumseh days about doing something with Big Time. You know
what I mean? Really?
Yeah, at one point. But so, I mean, it's all about the brands that you're affiliated with.
Could be at Iowa, by the way.
People.
I forgot.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And the people that you work with and that kind of stuff. But, like, the thing on the Sitka thing is there's a lot of people that pretend that they're sponsored.
That's so weird.
And then then other people are like, wait a second. How did this person get sponsored? They've never even killed a deer. They have an OnlyFans account, you know? And they're like, man, Sitka's giving away free discounts. And I'm like, they're not giving away those discounts. Like, they're pretending because then that gives them some clout. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a sponsored person, you know what I mean?
The day someone pretends to be sponsored by Working Class, I'll be so honored. And dude, we'll just give you a discount.
Hey, I pretend all the time.
Hey, keep pretending. You might get your own code.
But, you know, like, that would... It also goes to the people that buy likes and buy followers.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. The likes do mean something. You know what I mean? If they're genuine. But if you have 20 to 60,000 followers on Instagram and your posts are only getting 100 likes, spoiler alert, they bought that shit.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough look.
Like, you have
to open your eyes, people.
Yeah. Like, history lesson or education, Instagram, social media lesson. If you're following somebody that has 25, 30, 40, 50,000 likes and they're getting 30, 40, even 200 likes on a post, they bought that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not actually that popular.
I could rattle off some shows that had like 12,000 likes 5 years ago and they got 13,000 likes now.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. Took you 5 years to get 1,000. Something's fishy. You bought that first 12, I think.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
It happens. So, you know, if Akbar is the one that's like always popping up as the follower,
Akbar.
You know what I mean? It's like
you mean the guy from Turkey Turkey Turkistan.
Turkey Turkistan.
Right. Yeah. Him.
Or you kill the animals.
The person, like
the non-offensive mention of random countries.
Right. Like your number one fan has one post and one follower.
Yeah.
That is a fake account. Like, just letting you know.
For sure.
So, I mean, and that's frustrating. And I make that point because, yes, likes do mean something. You know, there is a monetization that shows the brands that you're working for that you're genuinely getting likes and engagement. And that's the name of the game. If I got zero likes, like, it hurts my brand. You know what
it's
I mean? It hurts my profession.
So people see social media first. Like, what's cool about what the podcast game is, when we do contracts with a company, social media is not in our contract.
Yeah, it's just like a bonus for you guys.
It's just like, it's there, but that's not where our numbers are.
Yeah.
Like, we are known as a podcast. We're not Working Class Bowhunter Instagram, Working Class Bowhunter Facebook. Yeah. We're Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Yeah. You know, our numbers are in our show and our downloads.
Yep.
Dude, the emails we have through our website that, hey, I don't mess around with social media.
Oh, yeah.
But I listen to podcasts because I weld all day.
Uh-huh.
I got tired of the negative, and here I am on this. Like, is insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's, once you see those, you're like, oh, yeah, those download numbers make sense. You know, and I'm to the point now, I'm trying to figure out if I can't hustle off Doug to make Facebook posts, because I'm about to delete the Facebook. I was on Facebook yesterday, and I almost just put on my own personal page, like, fuck Facebook, I'm out. Message me on Working Class Bowhunters page, because I'm only going to have the page manager and Messenger only.
Well, it's getting so political now to where they're censoring everything, and a lot of it is not to our advantage. So it's like, why do I even have this? It's just frustrating every time I get on.
But that even if I agree with the political agenda on the post, I'm tired of seeing the posts. I'm tired of seeing the posts about the weather. I don't give a fuck about your dog. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't, I'm tired of Facebook. It's
cold as ice.
It's more, it's 90% negative, 10% positive.
Yeah.
If everyone was like,
Facebook is annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's the worst.
So my Arrowwild TV page actually got hacked about a month and a half ago. If you go to Arrowwild TV Facebook right now, it says page owner Egypt.
Really?
They hacked my account, removed me as admin, so I can view it, but I can't do anything with the page. It's like it's somebody else's page. And so if you've ever tried to contact Facebook on anything, good fucking luck. Like, you could commit serious crimes on Facebook and send them tips. Ain't nobody going to answer you. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So
you can't do anything
with it? I have filed intellectual property that somebody is possessing my intellectual property trademark, which I have Arrowwild trademark. Yeah. I've tried to send them information that somebody has control of my trademark name. Nothing. No, I haven't gotten a response. So if anybody listening, anybody has a brother, cousin, family twice removed that works, you know, for Facebook or Zuckerberg, please let me know. Like, I'm not a Zuckerberg fan, but I kind of need some help right now. I would like to get the page back. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I hate Facebook.
Like, Instagram's where it's at. Yeah. But it's owned by Facebook, which sucks.
I know. Yeah. So that's not kind of my
Everyone's
focus.
Like, Parler's back. I'm like, I don't see it. I can't get on my Parler.
I know. I've hit refresh. Nothing happens.
Yeah. Same here.
I don't know if you have to, like, delete it and Parler reinstall sucks. It.
Maybe I'll do that.
It never really took off. I was hoping it would.
Yeah. I hate it.
I hate Twitter.
I don't use
I hate Twitter.
Twitter
also.
No. Twitter's good for, like, if you're, like, an NBA player or, like, a Kardashian.
If you're a famous person.
Yeah.
Like, real. You got to be, like.
Or Trump.
You have to be real famous, not Instagram famous.
Yeah. Trump loved it.
Trump loved Twitter.
He did.
He loved it so much they banned his ass.
Yeah.
TikTok. Fuck TikTok.
Did you see, is it Melania Trump? She just started a new IG page.
No.
And it's, like, the office of Melania Trump.
No. It's her that runs it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I'll hold on, let me pull it up. This is a right.
That's what our first lady should look like, man, forever.
You ain't shitting.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
This is a post she just made 4 hours ago.
Office. Oh, damn.
Let me see that.
Can you see from here?
No.
She posted that?
Shit. Yeah, it's
pass me that phone, Doug. I gotta get a closer look at this.
It's her, like, laid back over a desk, and it says damn. Jill Biden could never post this.
No, this is her page. It can't be. Is that her?
That is her.
Oh, man. Bless her heart.
Isn't that hilarious?
That's an old photo, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Don, old Don's like in his prime. Man, oh, yeah. You know? That might have been before he had to dye his hair.
Dude, it's hard to hate on Trump, man.
Yeah. I mean, the dude's got it. You know what I mean? Like, dude's been in Home Alone movies. I mean, he's a baller, right?
Everybody loved him until he was president. Well, then our people
well,
still love
and
him.
That's just it. I mean.
If I hate.
But, so, I want to, like. The other thing with this whole photography and this Instagram world and getting on the fake trends and stuff like that, it does seem like, for me, a dollar is worth a dollar. A like is not worth a dollar.
No.
But, like, the amount of people that are doing shit for, like, fake clout, like, if Instagram went away, I still have a job.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people, like, they need to really look in the mirror and they need to think about it. Is my fame on Instagram, is it fake clout fame? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
You guys have a podcast where if Instagram went away, you still have a job.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're still relevant. I'm still going to do photos for catalogs and magazines and, you know, shit like that. And
photos are always needed. That industry's
and still maybe have a, show, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I get so frustrated. Like, I'm at the point where I'm about to start calling out some people. Like, if I keep getting some photos that are, like, straight copied, I'm going to start doing, like, my original post with
are
the date.
You the point where you're ready to call it. People are almost.
I'm almost ready.
Almost ready. Because you know what I want to do as a host,
like a couple of beers away.
Yeah.
But what makes you mad about it? Let's get it. I'm trying to get you so, now on. You turn me on to dig mode.
Well, and I mean, and you guys might even have a podcast that's like that's trying to kind of copy your style.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Huh.
Like, allegedly,
I think there's one that even has a name like really similar to yours.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
But so that's what irritates me.
They need some milk, man. They should get their nourishment back, get their mind right.
That's a great sound, buddy. You got them queued up, ready to go. No, I mean,
I'm glad you appreciated that more than Chandler did just now.
There's like,
Chandler's probably tired of that sound bite at this point.
It's good one time.
And I get it.
I'll play it twice for you.
And I get it. There's only so many photos that you can take. But I mean, that's why, like, I've tried to do like weird stuff. Put graphics on the roof of my truck. Like, if you're going to do photos overhead, drone photos, at least, you know, I have some graphics up top. Try to do something different. And
right.
Granted, okay. I stole it from the General Lee. You know what I mean?
pretty vague steal there.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like, I figure what the heck. But, no, I mean, there's just, I really don't mean to hate on the younger generation. I will say this. The younger generation, they are very creative, mm-hmm. and they're coming up with some cool shit, and there's some people coming out of school, and they've got some neat and creative ideas, and they are moving the needle and stuff like that.
You don't got to answer right now, but I want you mm-hmm. to boil this in the back of your conversation. I want you to name one person you really like that's coming up, but keep doing your thing.
Yeah. So I guess my thing is it comes down to like the entitlement, and just because I'm married and I have kids and I have a mortgage doesn't mean that I'm supposed to make money over somebody who maybe lives in mom's basement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With mom in the basement,
Mommy.
With a red camera or something, you know? But I'm not saying that has any merit to it. I'm just saying like, it's so fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it irritates me to no end. Like, hustle in silence. Do good work. Do cool shit. You'll get respect. Cream rises to the top.
People are going to recognize it.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time, hey, man, how do I get noticed by a brand? I don't know. Do cool shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys from Rock House Motion, they kind of set the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys like Rockhouse Motion, Heartland Bowhunter, Jason mm-hmm. Matzinger, you know, those are guys that really push the industry on the videography side of things.
For sure,
you know,
yeah.
And commercial work. And I remember talking to the guys from Rockhouse, and they're like, dude, if you want to film cool shit, you got to go where the cool shit is. You got to do rad shit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no secret to it, you know?
Like, right, right.
But like, I see this cliquish of people, and I noticed that there was this certain group of people, they like did like a mass unfollowing of me.
Oh, like, really?
I'm like, what the
who?
Hell? I'm like, oh no, I'm not. I don't want to get into that. But
need a beer?
Yeah.
You want like three beers?
Yeah.
You want a shotgun one on there?
I'm not quite ready to put it out there. But no, like I noticed there's like a group of people that like unfollowed me, and I'm like, I wonder why these kids. And I'm like, wait a second. Why am I given one fucking second as to why these 21-year-olds unfollow
me?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I'll be 43 years old next month. You know what I mean? I actually have a real job and a career in this industry.
Right.
I don't live in my mom's basement. You know what I mean? I'm not play pimping.
It's funny you mentioned that. One of our buddies just did another podcast, a podcast I really respect, the Fall Podcast. Shout out to him, Aaron Blisey. Great dude. I think, of course, I want you to listen to our podcast first, but if you finish one of ours, go to the Fall Podcast. Listen to one of his episodes. Yeah. He's a great dude, and I really respect what he's doing. So I had to give him that shout out. And normally, I don't do that anymore. I kind of change gears because of being burned by people doing dirty behind the scenes industry stuff, kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah.
He had a guy. I don't really know. I'm trying to keep track. He had a guy. He mentioned some stuff. He had a host. God damn it, that doesn't make any sense. He had a guest on that mentioned me. But he was being respectful, and he had some guys shit on him. It was kind of like taken out of perspective, I think, right? But I don't remember where I was going to make a point off of that, but I'm fucking drawing a blank. So fuck me, right?
Yeah.
See what I did?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think ahead here because...
So the guy shit on you?
No, no, no. Shit on his guest because he mentioned me But he's my buddy. That, and I don't want to drop the name because I don't want to call anybody out. I'm being vague because I just don't want any issues.
I recently caught some shade over from somebody that their sole purpose of not liking me is because my shit was doing better than theirs.
That's weird.
Like,
that's weird like, to me.
Really? Like, and what people don't know, and I kind of
talked
about it. That's
who you should network with, if, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, well, and I've kind of talked about it in past podcasts, but, I mean, I literally didn't just pick up a camera and have a job. I mean, I was a full-time cop, had a landscape company, and was struggling and trying to learn this shit and to get better with a camera and videography. And I got very damn lucky. You know what I mean? Being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And busting my ass. It takes all of those things to come together. Or a trust fund. I mean, one of the two. You know right. what I mean? But like,
yeah,
we got those.
I got real lucky, you know, and worked hard at it to get to where I'm at. And I've got so much more to learn. There's a ton of people that are out there better than me.
Yeah.
Way better than me, you know. But every day I feel like I try to get a little bit better.
When you chase something, you're faster. Like I used to BMX race.
Yeah.
You know, if you get to the point where you could bump to the next class. Cause if you got guys that are faster than you chase them, you get faster.
Yeah. If you hang around people that are better than you, you get better.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, Bill Gates, even though he's an idiot. But like those people don't have loser friends.
Not you anymore.
Know I mean? No, I mean, like
they got to grow them.
They hang out with winners. You know what I mean? And that's what you do. Like if you surround yourself with trash, like you're going to be as good as them. And they talk about in sports all the time, you know, teams that are good teams that play a scrub team and they get beat because they play to the competition. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
play to your people. Like surround yourself with people that you aspire to be, or maybe have a talent or that you don't have and you can learn from them. Don't copy them. Learn from them.
Respect them.
You know what I mean? Like in the podcast game, like, dude, you guys are like, I compliment you guys all the time. Like
Appreciate it.
Absolutely killing it. I secretly know their downloads and I'm telling you all, they are killing it right now. You know, like they're killing it.
Hey, I appreciate you saying that. It's actually the podcast download game is very interesting.
Yeah.
And it goes by categories and subcategories. I mean, cause here's the thing, we get wilderness as like the mainstream category. That don't do shit for us.
No.
What it breaks down to within our industry is how we have to break it down. So you have hunting, you have the gun podcast, you have different genres of hunting, you have bow hunting, and it's how it breaks down with that.
Well, and like I said, I mean, the strength of your all's podcast is why it was a no-brainer to bring you guys in with the Old Barn deal.
And
I want to continue to grow you guys, you know, even more and more with that because you guys are doing a phenomenal job with that. But and also, you know, I've been dealing with Chase at Rubline. So
he's our boy.
Our brands are kind of even more aligning, you know, as time goes on with the brands.
We podcasted with him last weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny because I think actually he called me and was like, hey, man, I got to go. I'm getting ready to run in and do a podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I'll be there next week. But we were actually chatting about some stuff. And he was the one that kind of helped broker that deal with Red Arrow.
Yeah.
And then, and another brand.
Dude, Rubline's big in the fire.
Working with.
Yeah. Yeah. Rubline's big in the firearm game. And like, Chase is the man.
Yeah. He's good. And you know, again, he's one of those guys that marketing is his world.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing on the Johnny Utah Creative side is just a small piece of Johnny Utah Creative.
Right.
So like, I'm not in competition with Chase by any means.
It's like a sub deal, but not, but kind of.
So it's cool. Chase is a good ally and he's a good friend to have, not because he's a cool dude, obviously.
Right.
But there's a lot of cool business synergistic shit.
Yeah.
That goes with that. And, he looks at things. There's things that he looks at similar to me.
He's probably my number one role model in the game as far as business, hunting business is concerned.
Yeah. You have to be willing to diversify. You know, people always get kind of stuck in a rut and, you know, they're not reinventing themselves or, man, I'm only going to align myself with the cool guys, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I tell you, like, this First Light thing is really kicking off. Like, there's a bunch of people bailing and going over to the First Light thing. That seems to be the new cool guy thing.
First Light is in, like, the
First Light camo? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that. I'm out of that, actually.
Yeah, never heard that.
So the first podcast we did with Okay, I'm all right. I'll keep going. The first podcast we did with Make Hunting Great Again, he talked about the churning group buying meat eater and being part of our bar stool. The other day, I was bored. I honestly had not looked it up since. Has it been a year? Maybe not quite that long. I look up churning group. Yeah. I look up meat eater, and I look up the First Light stuff. I'm losing track of time here.
Okay.
Here, let's take a bathroom break and come back. Okay, so back at it. So I looked up like the churning group stuff because Meteor brought it up, and I didn't know anything about it. And I ended up finding all the stuff like Green Decoy talking about like these organizations like backcountry hunter and angles, like hunter and anglers, whatever it's called, like basically being a front to pull people from NRA to funnel money to anti-gun people. But anyway, churning group, I guess, owns part of Meteor and owns part of Barstool. First Light kind of falls into that. Does Meat Eater own First Light, or
that was my take? Was Meat Eater or the parent company of Meat Eater bought First Light? I think is the way it went. I don't think it was First Light bought them. I think it was the parent company of that bought. First Light.
But any, I don't know what I researched, and I'm an idiot, so take this with a grain of salt. It gave me yucky vibe.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, yeah, man, I'm probably gonna avoid buying First Light. I'm probably from now on going to avoid buying like anything Meat Eater esque. Yeah. I'm gonna avoid BHA, and I'm gonna know like, if there's anything shady about you, I'm not telling you any secrets.
Right. Yeah.
So I look at it that way. Where if I'm gonna spend my hunting money, I'm gonna try and go somewhere that if I can help it.
Sure.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But it's like, if what do you do? First Light makes the baddest motherfucking gloves, and they're paper thin, but they keep you warmer than any thick Carhartt glove. Well, it's like, man, that's tough. But if I can help it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and me being, you know, totally honest, and like I said before, you know, there are other good seed companies out there. You know what I mean? Scent Crusher, you know, makes an ozone machine. I work with Ozonics. You know, we've talked about, you know, hey, you got to make yours, we got to make ours. Comment. But
that's the best part about it. It's a free market.
Yeah. And, you know, me being a total Sitka guy through and through, First Light does have some good gear. They've stepped it up. They've got a full lineup now from what I've seen. Stone Glacier has come on. They make a lot of good gear now. Kuyu has solved their problem. They've got some good cold gear from what I've seen. I've got buddies that rock Kuyu, and I've got buddies that, you know, rock First Light. And, you know, all that being said, I think it comes down to what pattern works for you. But then I encourage people to take a step further. Look at what you're, who you're representing, what brands you're representing. Now, if you're best friends with guys that work at First Light, then by all means, rock your buddies. I've always said, if my best friend was an accountant, then that's who's doing my fucking taxes.
Right.
As long as he ain't gouging me. Right. He's going to get my business. You know what I mean? Like, if I was in Illinois and I was farming, I'd probably be calling you and be like, hey, Chandler, get over here.
There you go.
Bring your tractor over here. You know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Cut some shit for me,
I'm stuck again.
Yeah, exactly. I'm stuck. I need you to yank me out, you know. So that's kind of the way I try to do all my business. But I know that I have a lot of hunting and non-hunting people that are huge Rinella fans, like on the cookbook side of things.
Yeah, he's a great spokesperson for what we do.
And I get it. He's hit millions of people, and he has done a good job in a very non-redneck way of introducing what it is we do.
He's very white-collar-esque for being in our community.
Yeah. He's done.
And I say that with a compliment.
Yeah. He's done a very good job of bridging the gap between the dumbass to we hunt
the Bubba
and we eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because let's face it. Sometimes Bubba's not the best representation of what we do. And it's funny how you mentioned Bubba, because I used to say Bubba was like a hypothetical person. That was everybody who just does, you know, can do kind of some dumb shit sometimes. Right. And honey, we've all been Bubbas. I got a lot of Bubba friends. You know,
my nickname when I was a little kid was Bubba.
We've all been there. But
I had a mullet. So.
He's done a good job from the outside looking in. I don't know the guy. I've never met him. But it seems like he's done a good job as an advocate for that stuff. I do, like you, like I have some concerns with their backing and where does that money go.
Let's talk hypothetically for a second, because we're idiots and we don't actually know this stuff.
Yeah.
I want to ask Chandler this, because you're more of a calculated dude. Like, I feel like you, I just say shit, but you think about things before you say. You know what I mean? Okay.
So what do you got?
I'm complimenting you. Okay, take this hypothetically, allegedly.
Okay.
You take this spokesperson like Ranella, and he reaches millions, right? And you like what he says. You like his cookbooks. You like his show. You could spend money on his stuff, but what if you found out that allegedly some of the money he was making through his numbers, through his content, was funding anti-gun organizations?
No way.
And anti-hunting organizations. Nope. You wouldn't have any part? No questions asked.
If I knew, if it was like more than rumor, if there was proof that that money was getting funneled in that direction, then why would you support that as an outdoorsman?
Yeah, I agree. I just didn't know if I was an idiot or not. But.
Well, I feel like an idiot because I didn't know any of this, and I've got his cookbook, so I contributed.
I do too. So, but
the Lord,
how
could you?
How could you? I looked it up. Alan. I looked it up, and just from like Google Churning Group and Mediator together, and it's like, ooh, that's a tough look.
I read that article we were sent in the group. So
I sent a couple articles in our group chat.
Yeah, it's pretty.
And I looked it up. It's like. And I looked through a handful of articles, and it's all kind of the same thing. And it's like, I don't know what this means. I don't know how it justifies. And I know, like, Ranella made a statement saying, like, well, I reach more people outside of the hunting industry and da-da-da.
She does.
But it's like, but more views to your content means more money to these anti-everything we're about groups.
And I think that's kind of my position. I'm all about if he's introducing more people to hog nut broth. And that's what they're using to cook with or whatever.
But how many people in Manhattan are like, yeah, cool. Okay, I can see Justify Hunting. Mediator is one of my favorite shows. And they just consume Mediator content, give him the algorithm, give him their numbers. He gets the downloads. He gets the traffic, which increases his value for his monetary sponsorships. They pay him more. Mediator's worth more money. Therefore, Churning Group makes more money. Yeah. And then their more money goes to anti-gun, anti-hunting groups.
Yeah, and I think that's the deal. That's where I need to be more educated on to say exactly where I feel about it. But on the surface,
he's great.
Yeah, he's great, great advocate for the sport. You know, he's kind of like the Michael Waltrip of NASCAR. Like, there's no better spokesman, for NASCAR back in the day. But, like, so he's great in that position. But, yes, if those dollars are going to fund anti, then I have an issue, because then it's kind of a conflict of interest, right?
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
But – you know, I mean, hey.
Hey, it's a snitch type deal.
Yeah. I mean, the.
What do they say about snitches?
Exactly. Snitches get stitches.
Hey, you go against our people, we're going to stomp you out.
Yeah.
You mad bastard.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that.
I don't know.
Well, what was it like the Duck Dynasty guys introduced Yeti and beards, made Yeti and beards acceptable? You know what I mean?
Yeti. They brought in Yeti?
Yeah. Like, that was the first people that Yeti.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. They were the first people to be rocking Yeti coolers.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. I never watched the show.
Yep. So I think, like, the first – before the show, like, they had their Benelli sponsorship. But then I remember going back to Kentucky to visit with my mom and some of her friends, and they are not hunters. Like, these are just bourbon drinkers that live in Kentucky. And everybody was drinking out of Yeti tumblers. And I'm like, the hell? And they're like, I see you rocking a beard. That's cool. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, them Duck Dynasty people, you know? And I'm like, what are you talking about? They became fans of Duck Dynasty and then were drinking out of Yeti. They were buying Yeti coolers and Yeti tumblers. And they thought beards were cool. And I'm like,
bandanas.
If that's what it took to get these people to, like, kind of be okay with hunting, then I guess I'm all right with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what's...
But I get, again, you got to follow the money. I mean, it's business, right?
Right. It's tough because it's like, okay, more people get into hunting because Ranella.
It's like a double-edged sword.
And for the record, I'm not saying, like, he's the devil, because who knows? All this shit could not be true. Right. It just looks bad.
Yeah.
Because I get how that is. But
yeah, he could be the coolest guy in the world. We're all drinking beer together a year from now.
I'm sure he's cool as hell. But
it's tough right now politically. Like, we're in a war right now. And when you see some that could be taking money and putting it in a direction that doesn't favor us, it's really hard to support that. So.
It's hard. Like, when you first say we're out of war, it's kind of like, are we out of war? But no, we are at a war.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Like, with hunting and not hunting and Second Amendment versus not, fucking are. But the thing is, it's like, you can't give some push. Okay, well, you can't do that. You don't get an inch with our people. Fuck you. Yeah. That's my attitude anyway. Yeah. Like, you know, if you want to say, well, listen, this goes on to a whole other rabbit hole. Okay, in your county, Mercer County, Illinois, and even though I'm not the biggest fan of gun hunting, I don't want to see it go away.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it needs to be limited. Okay, no more gun hunting in Mercer County. I don't want that because you're forcing me to compromise a little. Crossbow thing's a little different because that got initiated over time and whatever. But
yeah, I hate crossbows.
Okay,
you give up an inch, they're going to take a mile.
Right,
exactly.
It's like with me.
It's like, they're okay with taking their guns. I mean, let's just get rid of hunting all in general then.
Yeah, it just pushes down, and the next thing you know, we're just compressed so deep we can't do nothing.
Yeah.
You can't have a Facebook account because
you can't post a single hunting picture.
Yeah, you can't post
it right now. We're right in the middle of it right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, man, what do you do with your hunting content? It's like,
you got to start digging in right now, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to start putting
deals in. Hell, on TikTok, you can't post hardly anything.
Yeah, happened to freedom of speech? You know, restricted and governed right now. It's not even.
Well, let me throw this in too. Like, I honestly think Joe Rogan's one of the biggest advocates that's hunting's had for a long, long time. But you know, I mean, I don't know what's Spotify doing with their money. Where are they funding their dollars? Is it anti-gun?
Gonna be looking to that.
For all we know, Soros owns Spotify or something secretly.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's tough, but it's like this. It's almost like this never-ending battle to save our lifestyles. It's like everything we consume everywhere might just be everything against us. What do we do then?
Yeah,
yeah. And all the platforms we're using could be conspiring against us.
Everywhere we host our podcast might be all anti-gun. Then what do we do?
Kind of like, you know, like I was saying, you know, I'm writing Facebook trying to get Arrow Wild TV back. And the very first thing they do, if they do go to Arrow Wild TV, and they're like, dead animal, broadhead.
Why help this guy?
Dead animal. Yeah, they're like, fuck him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Age. I don't know how much motivation I'm going to get, because I know anytime I would appeal things when I owned Wicked, is they said that Wicked Tree Gear was a company that sold weapons of mass destruction.
Yep.
Because it was a saw, and it could kill people.
You can't list a bow for sale on Facebook Marketplace.
Nope.
What the hell?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, ridiculous. Like I said, I would appeal is denied.
So where do we draw the line in this? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, how do we fix it?
They hold the cards.
That's the question, Doug. Where do we fix it? How do we fix it?
Yeah. Can we?
I don't know.
Big tech, you know, we're getting beaten by big tech. They own big tech.
Yeah. For the record, I'm not saying we're anti-mediator. I'm not saying that, but think about it. It's worth looking into.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, like I said, I know that the meat eater platforms, they do a ton of good.
For sure.
I'm not saying that. I am curious where the money goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where is the money going? That does raise some eyebrows. Again, it could be somebody could have created a whole story and this could all, like you mentioned earlier, this could all be fake.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah. We're all just reading something that was put on there.
It's an internet archery forum.
Exactly. Where everything is true.
Right? Yeah, right.
I wanted to bring up another topic because I would love to get your all's take on this.
Okay.
So right now we're in a deal where I like to introduce new people to hunting, right? Because I want to keep the hunting tradition going. I think all of us have tried to introduce somebody new. And if we can't introduce them, we at least try to broker it and soften it to where people don't think that we're a bunch of bloodthirst killers.
Demons, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, we're trying to introduce more people into the woods. Now, we also, another current trend is deer management.
Mm-hmm.
And to properly do deer management, I can't hunt 7-acre parcels anymore. I need 500-acre parcels. I need 1,000-acre parcels. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. So we got more people hunting. And we have a command, and I don't want to share that 1,000 acres with somebody. I want it all to myself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now we have natural attrition of land, highways, subdivisions, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So now we have less land available. Every hunter wants more land, and we have more hunters. We're working towards the center of having none of those goals.
Nothing to work
for
with.
Us, right?
Yeah.
And public land is getting, you know, I'm not going to say exploited, but with the introduction of the public land trend,
right,
fad, whatever you want to call it, that's happened over recent years, you have more people hunting public land.
Yeah.
So we got more people hunting public. We got more people trying to manage big parcels of private. Like, we got a problem.
Right.
Like,
I see where you're getting at.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be a problem that's just going to continue to grow and grow.
Yeah,
and
but
grow.
Hunter numbers are going down.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's what they tell us.
Yeah. I'm not buying it. I mean, because I know last year every state had increase in at least licensed sales.
Right, right.
And maybe it was just a spike during COVID and it'll go back to normal. You know, I don't know. But, I mean, it is a concern. I mean.
So what's the root question?
Where do you think, are we damning ourselves by introducing more people into hunting? I mean, here's the thing. Like, if your land that you have accessible to you guys is getting minimized,
mm-hmm.
how active are you at trying to get more people to go out and possibly hunt the ground that you're hunting?
Are you
ready to share a tree with somebody?
Right. Here's what I'll say. I think that if we can influence people through the podcast, like a media perspective, to get mm-hmm. more people into hunting, that's great, mm-hmm. which we've got a lot of messages that we do have that influence. If I can get family into hunting and I know they have accessible ground, I could take them out and help them learn, cut their teeth, and then kind of like let the mm-hmm. bird out of the nest. I'm more than willing to help them there. But I will also say I will outwork you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will find private access, and mm-hmm. I will pay for my lease, and I will work overtime, and I will put out more podcasts, mm-hmm. and I will hustle more content yeah. to make more money to outbuy you on a lease if mm-hmm. that's what it takes for me to get the prime ground. Yeah. Jeremy Beck, we just did a podcast with him, and he's from Wisconsin. He hunts public ground. He's like,
yep.
Dude, Illinois is fucking cutthroat when it comes to your private ground. He goes, I wouldn't fuck with Illinois.
Yeah.
And, so is Iowa.
You know, Iowa's the same way. And even, but it's different with Iowa because you have to build points as a non-resident.
Yeah.
You can come here as a non-resident in Illinois. So
yeah.
Chandler and I are working every year to keep some of these permission spots, some of these lease spots. We're fighting Chicago doctors that don't know how to hunt their way out of a fucking paper bag.
But they got tons of money.
They got tons of money. Yep. And money talks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm kind of sitting on a different perspective, too, because I'm outfitting, so I like seeing some money come into it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You could say I'm part of the problem. You know, maybe I'm driving up some of the prices of the local leases.
Yeah, I mean, but that's every outfitter. Well, it's a business.
I'm out there trying to get mine right now, you know.
Sure.
So that's a way as a farmer that will allow me to buy these rougher pieces that will – it helps me cash flow my pieces, I guess, that wouldn't normally cash flow. So I've got kind of a unique niche there. But it is tough. I guess the way I look at it, I'm going to teach my kids, anybody that's interested in hunting that approaches me, I'm going to try to be an advocate for the sport and get them into it, get them involved in any way that I can. Yeah.
To have your back, Austin, we do Turkey Palooza through your and Austin's farms and leases and
Ross's.
All that stuff. What I say, Austin's and Austin's?
Yeah.
I do that all the time, dude. All the time I do that. I don't know why I can't like separate. I never have been able to separate
it's
that.
Just Roston.
Roston. That's why I went with that.
Roston.
You were the first dude to invite people to come out turkey hunting.
Yep. Yeah.
You're like, we'll find birds. Like, you are. You really are. And I've been the guy be like, hey, you're going to run out of birds? Nah, we got birds.
And turkey hunting's fun because there's a lot of people that haven't done it. So it's a good way to get people into the sport that have never done it before. That's how I'm going to introduce my son and my daughter into hunting is through turkeys.
Yeah. Hear them gobble. It's interactive.
Oh,
yeah.
Weather's usually nice.
Interactive, easy.
And they're all booners. Hopefully. As long as they have a beard, they're all booners.
Yeah. That's what I love about turkey hunting. No one judges as long as it has a beard.
You remember that video that was on, I think it was on Facebook? It's probably been 2, maybe even 3 years ago. Genius idea. I was like, damn it. Why didn't I think of that? But they had the camera set up inside the blind. Then they had another camera set up outside the blind, like right outside filming inside.
Yeah.
So it was like first, you know, point of view perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, look, Tom coming. And one guy's like reaching for his bow. And another guy's got a range finder in his binos. And he's like, It's just 2 year old. He's like, oh, hard pass, hard pass. You know what I mean? And I was like, it's so funny because the video was like, what if turkey hunting was like deer?
Yeah,
hunting?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I laughed my ass off. I'm like, look kudos at the spurs. To look those at the guys. Spurs. Yeah, yeah. And they were like, do you see his teeth? Yeah, I think it's just a 3 year old.
It's hilarious.
Turkey is. You see a snout?
I've never killed a Jake, but not on purpose.
Right.
I see a Jake this year, I'm killing him.
That's the one bird I will pass.
It depends. If I'm sitting with the Lord, yeah. Or if I'm like, it's a Jake, then I probably won't. But, like, it's different now.
I'm not saying I'll never do it. Like, if it comes down to the last day of my tag and I'm shooting one with a recurve, I'll probably pop a Jake.
Well, yeah, I always said I wouldn't do that either. But, but in Kansas, that one came in acting like a Tom.
Dude,
so
that was a legit Jake kill there. Super Jake. Kill that
super
one.
Jake.
My Rio in Texas last year was, like, kind of a super Jake.
Yeah.
He did not have the full half circle. There was like a half inch, but it wasn't like the Jake,
you know,
typical Jake.
Your standard. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, I'm like, is that a Tom? I'm like, he's got like a 7 inch beard. I was like,
well, I didn't know this. Like,
I'm shooting him.
When you killed the Super Jake in Kansas, Doug, those guys were saying like, oh yeah, we've had guys come through their outfit saying, like, oh yeah, we killed a Slam with a Tom and now we're trying to do it all on Jake's.
Yeah, they're trying to do like the Jake Slam.
I joked and said I was going to do bearded hens.
Jesus.
No, that's cocky.
That's way too cocky.
That's like a 20-year thing.
And then somebody goes, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, with a bow, single season.
Oh, shit. Single
bearded season. Bearded hen.
I've never seen a bearded hen.
Yeah.
And you would have to bow down.
Yeah.
Like,
and they were like, are you being serious? I'm like, no, I'm not going to kill a bunch of like future turkey layers. You know what I mean? Egg layers. I was like, I'm not going to do that.
What causes a bearded hen? What happens?
Like hermaphrodite, like abnormality.
New Zealand birds coming in.
It's not as rare as I thought it was at one point. Like now that I'm looking, like I can usually pick out a couple hens every season I see.
It's coming more common now. My mom
I've only seen like three.
I've never paid that close attention. I don't think.
Your mom killed one?
My mom killed one that was like almost a record. Actually, it was like an 8 inch beard.
Wow. I think about
firing you, Doug, from the podcast and just getting your mom as a full time host because she kills big deer.
She's probably better than me.
She can kill her.
Yeah.
We got to get her in.
She is a
She's a good
a
person.
Dude.
Our schedule's opening up now. We'll have to get her on.
Well, whenever that I took the photos that day at Old Barn, when she came in, I just so bad I wanted to yell out, hey, Ma.
Hey, Ma.
Hey, Ma.
And by the way, Doug killed a buck. We haven't done a podcast on it yet.
Dude, I literally like.
Well, you downplayed
it.
No offense, but you downplayed it.
It wasn't what I was after, but I mean, it was last day of season. I worked my ass off.
You killed a Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Jake. It was a Jake buck.
The motherfucker was getting it.
Dude, I don't blame you.
I did shoot one in Kansas, by the way.
You did?
Yeah. Shot that buck in Kansas.
Yeah.
Oh, a buck. Yeah.
Actually, I showed the rack to Doug. Yeah. Whenever he brought his buck
over. We're talking
about
the weird.
Yeah. He had like some weird flyers.
And
stuff.
You had an interesting deer season.
Yeah, you know, so I was in Kansas right before Halloween, and the whole time I'm in Kansas, my cameras in Iowa are blowing up. I mean, I've got like my shooter.
I remember talking to you during this.
Yeah, my shooter buck is like bedded down at the base of my stand, like no bullshit. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Well, my mom calls me. She says, hey, your dad's going to go to the doctor. I think he's got the Rona. I'm like, oh, well, keep me posted. So day three of my hunt, she calls me. She's like, hey, it's not corona. It's cancer. And it's stage 4 cancer. I'm like, what happened to 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, oh, man, what do I need to do? She's like, well, just stay there. We got a lot of tests. Well, you can't tell me to stay there and hunt when my dad's got the Rona or cancer. You know what I mean? I was like, screw this. I'm not even in the mood to hunt anymore. I was done. So I went back to Kentucky. She's like, there's nothing you can do here. They're giving him 12 to 18 months to live. Just go back to Iowa. Hunt. Just go hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to Iowa, and I'm like, just kill, 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 kill. You know, I was being stupid. I was being super dumb aggressive. Yeah. Not even smart, calculated aggressive. I was being dumb aggressive.
Just rammy.
Yeah, super rammy. And even the day that she ended up shooting that deer, it's like November 12th, and as soon as he comes out, I'm like, oh, there he is. You know what I mean? It's release an arrow. Hit him low. Turns out the fletchings actually came off my arrow because my arrow was like, and I held low, but not that low. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I ended up hitting him in the top of the leg. I later found out I saw that my arrow had fletchings missing from it. And I went back to my quiver and I just kind of gave a twist of all my blazers and I popped off 1 to 2 veins per arrow.
What?
It's just a bad batch of glue or just didn't adhere good. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. So we track. We couldn't find this deer. Nothing on camera. I'm like, oh, you know, like I did my due diligence, a grid search.
And I remember like, you called me. I was in Indiana when you called.
Yeah, I was actually calling you the night that I was going out to grid.
Yep,
yeah,
I remember it.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I shot him. I was all jacked. But yeah. We had a ton of blood. And Julian from Old Barn, he came out with
me. The way you described it, I'm like, oh, you'll find that
blood. Yeah, and Julian's like heart shot, dude. There's just a ton of blood. It just ended up being leg blood, muscle blood. So it was just a ton of blood and nothing. So he ended up showing up 2 weeks later and came out at 89 yards, just limping. And I'm like, I think I could almost get on the ground. You know what I mean? But it's a deer. He's obviously can run, and he's got more power than what he's showing.
Right.
But I never got a shot off on him. That night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I actually moved my big grizzly tower blind. I moved it into this cut cornfield. And I'm like, this is where I'm going to kill him late season. As long as nobody comes onto this property, I'm going to kill him late season. And during shotgun season, I put out, you know, it's the problem with having a video show is I put out a ton of information. A local.
You want people to follow you along. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want, you know, you really tell a story about the field, and I want to educate a little bit. Educate and entertain. Those are the two things I try to do with the show.
Right.
And somebody recognized the farmer's field, ag field. And they also saw on social media that I was in Oklahoma on a photo shoot. So they go to the farmer and they were like, hey, can I go shotgun hunt that property? Well, I lease it to a bow hunter. Yeah, but it's not bow season, shotgun season, and he's out of town. So we won't be messing with his hunt. And the farmer's like, well, that's a good point. You won't be messing up his hunt. All right, just take a couple of boys out there with you and go shotgun.
Oh, no. That's an old boy that don't understand what a lease is.
Yeah. Yep. So this is a property that I pay for. And so they went over there with a little small army and shotgun. And because I'd put out some information, they knew exactly what patch of timber to drive. They drove it. According to the neighbor, he heard about 20 shotgun shots go off in 5 seconds. On audio on my Exodus trail camera, I can hear him say, well, I missed him the first two shots, but the third one shot him in the leg and it rolled him. They shot his leg off. I mean, we're talking like a firing squad brigade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This deer couldn't run. He couldn't walk. You know what I mean? And they just iron sights at 150 yards, taking pop shots at this deer, you know? They ended up killing him 72 yards from the ground blind or tower blind that I moved into position. Now, tell me I didn't know exactly where I was going to kill that deer. You know what I mean? I knew where he was going to be. And so I'm in Oklahoma, and I'm just like, no, you know what I mean?
So you're getting sent this shit.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
While you're in Oklahoma.
Yep. Yep. And then my dad dies December 16th. And I had talked to my dad. I'm like, I shot the buck, but he's still alive. And he goes, don't worry about it. You'll kill him late season. I have faith. And you're going to call me when you kill him. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it. And then they killed him. Somebody got permission to hunt that property. And I know it's like kind of a stretch, and I know it's a little, it's reaching a little bit, but like they stole that opportunity from me to have that one last hunting story with my dad.
Yeah. No,
And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I was miserable. I was telling you and Ross about it. I mean, I was just like, I was sick about it. So we go to the funeral, we get through all that. I hang out with my mom, you know, and I come back home and I'm moping around the house, you know. And Kelly's like, you need to go hunt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not in the mood.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck hunting. You know, she's like, you're driving me crazy.
Get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah. So I was like, I still have a tag in Kansas. And I'm like, you know, Kansas is where I was at when I got the news that he had cancer. Now, the day he found out he had cancer, he was dead in 6 weeks. And
God damn, man.
So I went back to Kansas and I shot a buck there. And it was nice to kind of have closure. Was it a giant buck? No.
He's like your dad had like a
145. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, but still, you had fun. Yeah,
that's a good buck.
I had a blast. And
yeah, that is a good buck for the record.
And it was super, super fun and awesome. But it was nice to have closure. Like, I got to complete the story, like I said, where I found out that, you know, he was dying.
Yeah. Maybe that's all along what he meant.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was the buck he was talking about.
Yeah.
And I still filmed, solo hunted that deer when I shot him. And I shot him, and I actually spined him. He dropped on me and ended up spining him. So I bailed out of the blind, grabbed another arrow, knocked it, ran up to him, you know, put another arrow in him, and that was the end. whole thing was over with in 16, 17 seconds. Yeah, you know, yeah. I kept the camera running. But and then I sat down with the deer. I didn't lay down next to him and take a photo selfie with him. But I sat down with the buck, man, and had a little talk with my dad, you know.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Freaking bawled my eyes out.
I can imagine.
That was, I cried more then than the day he died. Like, that was finally letting it all out.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I was by myself, and I want to be a little bitch and cry in front of
him. Yeah, I feel you there.
But I know what you're saying. It's kind of like a personal emotional moment, too. Yeah. Like,
Well, on a positive note, this season's going to be better. It can't be any worse.
It cannot be any worse. It cannot get any worse. So
I know what you're saying, though, dude. Like, the emotions of bow hunting, man, will rip you up inside and out. And
it will.
Like, guys, like, I think all of us that are passionate about it, we tend to tear ourselves up a little bit. And I'm a little more emotional when I'm by myself in the woods.
Yeah,
I share with other people.
Like, but when you walk up on a buck,
but honestly, you know, honestly, like, if I recover a deer with people, you know, I'm you know, Chandler, you've recovered a buck with me. I'm pretty excited, man. I'm an emotional. Yeah. No matter how big the deer is or whatever, it's part of the experience. But yeah, man, the emotions of bow hunting, man, like recovering a deer, being by yourself, all that type of thing. But yeah, you had 100% excuse to cry. Cry your eyes out as hard as you wanted.
Like, it's tough, man. I tell you, and you know, and I had buddies that, you know, they've lost parents and whatnot. I'm a very analytical person, and I, even at a young age, I was like, I'll probably be 50 years old, maybe 60 whenever I lose a parent. And I'm like, not even going to think about it until I'm 50 or 60.
Yeah. But you don't want to think about it anyway.
Exactly. No. But, you know, fortunately in my past career, I don't know if it helps or hurts, but my wife, she was one of the first ones to point it out. She said, this, you don't get to handle this one the way that you handle everything else tragic in your life. Because in that job, they teach you to just press it down.
Yeah.
You compartmentalize it and you move on. You never deal with, you never grieve. They don't really teach you how to grieve. And she's like, this is one you're going to have to deal with. And I was like, well, I'll deal with it the way I choose to deal with it.
Right.
I'm going to grab a handle and that's how I'll deal with it.
You right.
know what I mean?
Right.
That didn't deal with it. It numbed me for that day or for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But that's not how I needed to deal with it. And I'm probably in some way probably still, you know, I'm kind of still like dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
Yeah. I'll catch myself driving down the road. And you'll hear something on the radio, and I'm like, oh, damn. I'm like, oh, whew. Where'd that come from?
Right. You cut onions in the
end. That's just human emotions, man. Yeah. It's like, but I feel hunting kind of brings emotions out deeper in people. And I don't know. I just feel passionate about it because I grew up doing it, and I just pour everything into it. And I surround. Do you feel that way, Chandler?
I'm a crier, man. I've walked up on deer and not had any reason to cry, you know, not losing a family member or anything. I just, I get emotional, especially when it's, you know, you've worked so hard, you put a lot into it, and it finally comes together in that perfect moment. It's emotional for me.
I'm that way too, man. I think, Doug, where are you that way, you think?
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm more excited than anything.
You're an excited guy.
Well, I'm like a happy crier. I'm not a sad crier. Have you ever, be honest. Let's just between us girls. Have you ever been watching
drinking wine?
Have you ever been watching a movie and like something really friggin' good happens to the main character and you're like, yeah,
get choked up
and you get a little choked up?
Yep.
Okay,
I do.
I'm an emotional movie guy too.
I'll be 100% honest.
I'll cry in Rudy every time.
I don't know what Rudy is.
I'll ask the wife later.
I don't this weekend. I don't watch movies. I want to. It's something I want to do, but I don't do. I need to get that soundbite from Will Ferrell on this soundbite because I use that so many times and nobody knows what the hell I'm referencing. But I do get emotional when I see someone kill a giant buck in hunting videos and I know it's genuine and they start feeling that. I feel that because I want to feel that or I know what it's like to feel that.
And I think that's the side of hunting that is not shown enough. People see the excitement, which often is portrayed as bloodthirst.
Agreed.
The excitement over a dead animal. But people don't see the emotional connection, you know, to that. Like you said, like, you know, you walk up on a deer and you're like, I don't even know why I'm crying or getting upset or, you know, like tearing up, getting choked up over something. But it's that culmination because I think with a lot of us, it is the appreciation of the animal.
Yeah.
There is some remorse.
A little bit. Killing. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel bad about it.
Yeah.
But you also get that like total waterfall effect. And I don't mean waterfall and tears, but like just this snowball effect of like, man, I've worked so hard. I've had so many encounters. I did everything right. So many mornings getting up and sacrificing and
pursuit. Seems unattainable with all the time and effort you put into it. And it's like you go from the lowest to lowest to the highest to highs within a couple
every
minutes.
Time.
And
unattainable is like the best way to explain
it. Yeah, it's such a roller coaster. There's nothing where you'll be that low and then hit that extreme in that short amount of time. Yeah.
Like when I killed Creepy, that was a buck. Like, Creepy on the score chart is not this buck that scores 180. You know, he's a mainframe mate with some kickers. He's 155, but he's cool. And he was the most mature buck and the biggest buck that I knew about. When I killed him, you know, my wife knew about it. We all knew about Creepy, like the crew. I don't talk about bucks I'm chasing as much on the podcast as I do to the crew because it's, you don't want to blow up your spot. So these guys all knew about Creepy more than the podcast listeners knew at the time. When I call my wife and say, hey, I just shot Creepy and I can see him and he's down, my wife was with her mom, my mother-in-law, and I can hear my mother-in-law celebrating because she knew how much that buck meant to me. But I didn't cry when I shot Creepy, but I sat down in disbelief when I shot him. Like, I sat down and I rolled him over, and I like remember this whole moment of like I just like kind of sat there and just like, holy shit! And I actually like just I filmed myself a little bit of it, and I'm not crying, but I'm kind of like in just like the chase is over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like what I thought was impossible, I did it, and I did it at 12 yards, and I did it off being calculated and putting in the work.
Right.
By going in, and I swear to God, I had COVID before COVID was like a thing. And you can call me out on that bullshit, whatever. I swear I had COVID. I was sick forever. But anyway, that was the most emotional I've ever been without physically crying. But I felt like I was so sick and like physically sick from being sick, like flu-like sick. Uh-huh. And tired and wore out that I don't think I had the energy to fucking cry, otherwise I would have died.
You had like walking pneumonia, didn't you?
I legitimately had walking pneumonia. I was on a Z-Pack. I couldn't breathe.
There was like a 3-month stretch of you just not doing okay.
I went into the doctor after that. So I killed Creepy second week of December. I went to the doctor on New Year's Day. And they were like, if you were waited 2 more weeks, you would have been in the ER.
Dude, I remember because you had the ammonia.
I had walking pneumonia. I had walking pneumonia and bronchitis.
Because I was on the podcast as you were kind of still coughing, but you were on the mend.
Yeah.
And then within 48 hours, like I was on my deathbed.
Yeah.
Like coughing. And
sorry.
Oh, shit.
I was like,
my bad. Yeah. Yeah, my bad on that.
I never got sick, so.
But, yeah, I mean, you're in here weekly. But, yeah, it was a problem.
All the time.
When I killed my first buck on November 6th or 7th, I had a cough drop in my mouth. I only remember that because I remember being like, dude, I need to have this because I'm going to yak and not going to hear anything.
Because I almost didn't make it to ATA that year because I was like, man, if I can't stop coughing.
Yeah, because I rode that line right there.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I can make it to ATA. And then, like, the day before I left to go to ATA, I'm like, all right, I have a lot of meetings, you know, meetings with people. I'm like, if I take, like, 3 cough drops and shove them in my cheeks, you know what I mean, like a squirrel.
Yeah,
and I sit in there, you know what I mean, and, like, don't talk much.
Yeah.
Like, I can get through this. And I could always tell when it was getting to be about that 40-minute mark of the – of the meeting because I was like,
we probably spread COVID all over ATA show that year, dude.
Because this is where it started.
Patient zero.
I remember having meetings with people at Boost at ATA thinking I was going to pass out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hold it together. But it didn't help that I drank like, I don't know how much Jameson every night.
Who knows?
But then I get to the show the next day, I'm having like a meeting and I'm like, looking at people like this. I mean, you can't see what I'm doing, but well, maybe this camera can.
Yeah, that one can.
But I'm like, looking at people like, Looking at the back of their head, you know what I mean? I just fucked up. So I probably had COVID.
I was pale.
I have not had COVID.
No, same.
I bet you I had COVID.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Because I had a thin, and they were like, oh, yeah, you got the flu.
I was pale as a ghost, like looked like Doc Holliday on deathbed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like banging like monsters and 5-hour energies just to have the energy, like to even hold a conversation in these meetings.
Yeah.
And then I think that brought my blood pressure, brought the color back in my skin.
And you're not a big drinker either.
No.
Well, not that I don't get that impression anyway, but from what I know you of, but
kind of a closet drinker at times.
You just drink at the hotel.
Yeah. After everybody else goes to bed, I'm like George Thurgood.
See, that's not me. I'm drinking alone. I'm at ATA walking around with a beer and a cafeteria cup. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm that guy drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know?
I was passed out on
I'm going to sound like an alcoholic. I don't think there's anything better than getting a buzz off of whiskey by yourself. Like, just sit there, watch the fire, whatever,
you
by yourself.
You are George Thurgood.
I drink a little.
You're a cowboy, dude.
Dude, you are Dutton over there.
Damn it, Dutton.
I got to say, I'm becoming a whiskey guy because of you.
Yeah, you got me.
You keep hanging around
the old fashioned.
Hanging around with Ross and
I. You got me in trouble.
It's
I drank
game
some
over.
Whiskey at this last weekend, man,
yeah.
On the podcast. I drank. Fuck, we drink a... I bought a bottle of a High West whiskey because there's an antelope on it. I'm going to buy it, right?
It was good.
Yeah. And we drank a whole... I think we finished a bottle of High West. High West, yeah. Mm-hmm. Does Park City, Utah sound correct?
There is a Park City, Utah.
It's the only... Scott Bakken told me this, and sorry if I'm wrong. It's the only distillery in Utah. They do a lot of stuff for like conservation with their funding through with their bottles or their sales.
Yeah.
So I bought High West whiskey. There's a pronghorn antelope on it.
Oh, there you go.
So I bought it.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
Uh-huh.
We also downed, two old-fashioned mix bottles?
Yeah, we went through a little old-fashioned mix.
I'm keeping those on hand from now on.
It's good stuff.
So I'm an old-fashioned kick.
I'm organizing a gentleman's trip this summer.
Mm.
Eat old-fashioned?
Excuse me.
Oh, we're drinking beer.
Yeah. The gentleman's trip is going to be like a little weekend trip. We leave on a Friday. Drive down there for, you know, get down there Friday, hang out that night, take it easy. Saturday is the main day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to be semi-functional.
Yeah.
But taking everybody on the bourbon tour back to my hometown, and we'll hit like Knob Creek and
there you go.
We'll hit Woodford Reserve, Wild Turkey. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
when are you doing that?
So it's kind of open. I need to look at the schedule to see what's a good weekend. It's going to be June, July-ish.
June?
Yeah. June can work, and long as it's not June 12th weekend.
Yeah,
long as we'll find a weekend right now.
I got some stuff I got to talk to you about. This.
Yeah.
It's going to make my summer tight.
Oh, okay.
I haven't announced it on the podcast yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so let's get... Like I said, it's kind of an open deal. We'll take as many vehicles as possible. I don't care as long as they're my friends. Like,
yeah.
So if there's like some random person listens, like, I'm coming. No, sorry. It's just friends.
Hey, we should hire a couple camera dudes, like vlog style of us drinking some bourbon.
100%.
Just get trashed.
But it's a gentleman's trip to go down and do the bourbon tour. Right now, I know the only committed is Chase. And,
Ralston?
Yep.
Oh, I'm in. If I can go, we're in.
Yeah, Chase was like... Wait a second, you're from Lexington, Kentucky, bourbon capital of, you know, the world.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. So he's like, I've been really wanting to do those bourbon tours. I'm like, again?
It's like a bourbon.
Yeah. You can go do the bourbon tours, and then you can go to all the gift shops, and then you go take a tour of actual distilleries, and they tell you the history of their bourbon and that kind of stuff. But Ethan Pohl from Grizzly, I know he wants to go.
Yeah, man.
Yep. So... yeah, I mean, to me, like, it's a no girls allowed, it's a boys trip, it's go for a weekend.
Gentleman's trip.
Yep, gentleman's trip. And it's perfect, bourbon, gentlemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We go down to Kentucky.
So fuck off, ladies.
Yeah.
It's us.
We go down there on a Friday, stay Friday night, do the bourbon tour all day Saturday, stay Saturday night, and everybody gets up, goes home Sunday. You know what I mean?
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a ton of freaking fun.
I'm in. Film it, photo it, you know, it'd be cool, show people. Again,
I got one guy that I already film it. 50, shout out to Wade Kemp. He'd be all in. He'd come with.
There you go.
Yeah.
51% corn makes bourbon. If it's not 51% corn, it's whiskey.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That's why you always see like pineapple whiskey and peach flavored whiskey. You don't fuck with bourbon.
It's not bourbon.
Yeah.
You just drink bourbon.
Bourbon, you just. And here's the thing about bourbon that makes it so romantic. Okay, I'm using the word romantic when it comes to liquor.
It's getting deep.
Bourbon was never, ever designed to be shot. When I see people shoot bourbon, I'm like, ugh. Yeah. Like it makes my,
slow it down a little
bit. Makes
my
blood boil. Bourbon was meant to be sipped and drank slowly amongst friends.
That would be why I hate bourbon, because I was a kid and didn't know how to drink bourbon.
Yeah. So you're supposed to drink it slow, and it's supposed to be enjoyed. It's supposed to take a long time to drink bourbon so you can enjoy company, conversation, like with your buddies, hunt camp, you know what I mean?
It's
with
the perfect
buddies,
podcast liquor.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I grew up, you know, with that. I mean, I grew up 5-6 miles from, you know, Woodford Reserve and 10 That's miles good, from man. Wild Turkey.
They got good cherries.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and again, that's where a lot of the whole bourbon barrel calls, that's the whole theme of all
the roots.
That's where that came from.
Hey, I'm in. If we can make that weekend work, I think that'd be fun.
Dude, I think it'd be a friggin' blast.
I think I'd learn a lot.
I mean, I'd be so jacked to have like 12, 14 truck caravan heading down there to my hometown, and you guys get to see kind of where
I'm
driving
in that
area.
So does it make you wince when you see somebody take a nice bourbon and make an old fashioned out of it?
No, I'm okay with old fashioned.
I love old fashioned.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a fan from the last few weekends.
Big fan.
Yeah, I mean, anybody drinking, I mean, I'll take it further than just old fashioned, but like anybody drinking old fashions or drinking bourbon, I like my bourbon just on ice. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I do with it. I just drink all my bourbon. I drink neat.
See, I do that. I do that on like a tour.
Yeah.
Just so I would know the difference. You
know? And you get to taste different ones, and you get to taste the difference between the charring and the aging and the oak and, you know, stuff like that. But, it's super cool. I mean, I'd love for you guys to even that and take, we'll take it further and we'll all drink some, you know, mint julep and eat a hot brown and
I don't know.
Have the whole
I have no idea what
Kentucky
you're talking about.
Yeah. That's getting into more of the thoroughbred side of things.
Okay.
But yeah.
I'm down. Okay.
Yeah. We could do fun. We could do a non-hunting at all related podcast. It's called the Bourbon Podcast for one episode.
Yeah.
The Bourbon Barrel.
It's not about hunting. So it's about bourbon.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be popular.
It's super cool. But I know I've seen your bourbon collection. You've got
it's not a real high-end collection. Ross has got some nice bottles.
Does he?
I can appreciate a good bourbon. Like we had Weller. Weller was really good. Trying to remember Blanton's. Blanton's was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Blanton's is in my top three all time.
But Angel Envy, I mean, I can appreciate a decent
That's in
bourbon.
My top five.
But I'm also like, I can also appreciate a nice $30 bottle like a Bullet.
Yeah.
I like Bullet. I drank Yellowstone, Buffalo Trace. I mean, I like all that nice.
Buffalo Trace has a real nice gift shop down there as well.
Okay. Doesn't it have to be from Kentucky to be bourbon?
Technically, yeah, but as long as it's 51% corn. Then it's bourbon.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, Kentucky's the birth of bourbon. Funny story about Bullet. There was a liquor store in Kentucky that when I worked, he did check cashing as well. So this guy always had like a lot of cash, you know, on hand. And I'm like, dude, you have no security. You have a plexiglass window.
Right.
Like, you know, a pencil can get through that.
Yeah.
So I would make purposely stop in there, and I made him a deal. Anytime I stop here, you give me a free bottle of water, you know, and I'll hang out. We'll get some police presence in here. At least hopefully nobody will rob this place.
Yeah.
And so I'm in there one day and this dude comes in very Kentucky, blue jeans and a pair of penny loafers and a polo shirt. And I was like, what's this guy doing? And he's asking a lot of weird questions. So finally I was like, hey, partner, what's your name? And he's like, Jim Bullet. I'm like, no shit. Master distiller of Bullet Bourbon. And
no
so
shit. Exactly right.
Yeah. And so he signs a bottle. I've got a bottle at home that he wrote on their rye. It says, to the coolest cop I ever met, Jim Bullet.
No shit.
I got to meet him. And he just would randomly just take little drives and go check in some liquor stores and see how his bourbon was selling.
That's very cool.
Yep. So it's pretty neat bottle. That's a bottle I'll never open, you know.
It's a collector's item.
I got a 10-year Bullet that was pretty impressive for the money. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and you go back to Kentucky, and to me, Kentucky has always represented like the Great Gatsby, like the book, you know, and or the movie, however versed you are. But old money and new money. But you'll see some of those old codgers, man, look like they don't have two nickels rubbed together, and they'll belly up to the bar and they'll order a couple of glasses of some Pappy. The like it's Pappy. Nothing.
I tried that for the first time. There's a little restaurant in Burlington that's got it. Mm-hmm. And we saw it on the menu, and I'm like, we're never going to try this if we don't do it now. So I ordered a shot of it. And
break this down for me. I'm ignorant.
Pappy Van Winkle. It's I shouldn't even say this. I think it was $200 or $250 for a shot.
Yep.
Holy typically. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well, why?
And I've been at bars and watched guys order, like, bottles.
Yeah.
Why? What?
That's balling.
You got to explain this to
me. It's the most expensive whiskey that I've ever tried. Yeah. I just wanted to do it just to say that I tried
$250 a shot?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hold on. You got to tell me why.
So, supply and demand is one. Typically, you can only get your hands on it in, like, October. But I had some liquor stores back home that would hold me a bottle. They're like, this was like right as it was really getting crazy. You know what I mean? But it's kind of one of those things, like, how does Kim Kardashian have so many likes? Like, is it good bourbon? Yeah, it's good bourbon, but I don't know if it's,
it's not $250.
I don't know if it's $2,500.
My palate's not that refined.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, look, I can,
how much would a bottle be?
$2,500, $3,000.
Jeez, holy shit.
Yeah, if it's like the 25-year stuff.
So we need to buy one of those and have it as a kill bottle in the studio.
That's cocky. I like that. Yeah.
You do one light sipper of it each person.
Like, fuck a bunch of Cristal. I got Pappy.
How much is Cristal a bottle?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
I just know the rappers.
We just know rappers drink it. Look that up.
Definitely on that Pappy stack status. It up in the fridge. Yeah.
Doug, you're our Jamie.
I'm on it.
Pappy.
That's interesting. So I find whiskey interesting because it's kind of like, it's a hunting camp, like the camaraderie thing that you're kind of getting at. It's like that's involved. Yeah. Like growing up.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, no, keep going. Yeah, you're good.
Guys would get like Maker's Mark. I always remember that growing up behind
camp. It's a good whiskey.
You know? And as I would say as a kid, like I was a kid, but then I ended up like growing up and drinking some of it. It's like the whiskey dipped in wax. So you're like, whoa.
It's fancy.
It's different. It's fancy. You know, you got these guys with a little bit of money mixed it up in hunting camp drinking some Maker's Mark.
Maker's is good. That's the good bourbon you can go to and get it almost anywhere. Like any good restaurant's going to have the Maker's.
Socially acceptable anywhere.
Is Jack Daniel's garbage?
It's like your garbage. Cristal.
I mean, to me, Jack, again, once you start throwing in honey and pineapple and like I said,
it definitely has its own flavor.
Jack Daniels just seems pungent to me.
I drank gallons of it growing up, and now when I have one, sweet. I try to drink it with, I like a Jack and Coke. Like, I'll try to drink one, and I'm like, I don't know how I would drink this drink after drink all night long.
We used to drink a lot of Southern Comfort and Jack.
Dude, Southern Comfort? I used to drink a lot of that. Is that even a bourbon?
Whiskey.
It's just a whiskey?
Kind of a whiskey.
How much is Cristal a bottle, Doug?
$300.
It is.
Get out of here, you broke motherfucker.
Hey, come on in, you broke motherfucker.
Yeah. It looks fancy, though.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Them rappers need to step up their game.
Yeah, what? You're sitting there with a brand new Mercedes. You got a one bottle of Cristal. Like, everyone used to flex with that. It's like,
whatever.
Farmer rolls up with a rusted out Chevy. And
the
he's
old
got
Pappy.
A
yeah.
Of Pappy.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll old buy son. Your ass.
That's interesting, man. That's super interesting. The whiskey game, I'm
not in it.
I think the old fashioned thing got me more intrigued. Yeah, like, I can enjoy.
Everybody likes the taste of an old fashioned. You can take your old lady to a bar and get her an old fashioned. She's going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
but it's a. I don't know. I really like the flavor of an old fashioned, so it's tough for me to get away from those.
Well, I had a
sneak
group
up on
of,
you though. Got to be careful.
Oh yeah,
the NRA show in Louisville. Mm-hmm. They had. I was working the Sitka booth one year, and there was a bunch of people from Montana and Wyoming and stuff that were there working the booth with me. And I was like, they're like, we really want to take in the local Kentucky thing. And I said, all right, well, downtown Louisville, there's a real cool bourbon bar, and, you know, we'll go there and we'll do some old fashions. I was like, that's about as Kentucky as I can get you, you know, right now.
Without having you die.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless we want to go get on a farm or, you know what I mean? Like,
let's go
press some tobacco or something at a bar or whatever, you know? So we went and did that and we're sitting there and it got kind of quiet. And one of the guys looks at me and he goes, so what is the proper way to say this, the city that we're in?
Oh, I love this conversation.
Yeah. And I was like, what? I'm like, Louisville? And they're like, so it's not Louisville and it's not Louisville. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, it's Louisville. And they're like, but it's not spelled that way. I'm like, that's just the way we say it.
That's what it said, yeah.
Yeah.
Louisville. So I'll tell you a funny story about that. I've been there for the BMX Grand Nationals. Yeah. We're there for a long time. And we've done, obviously, ATA show and some other
things. You have seen the movie Rad, though, right?
Yes, it's been a long time.
Okay. All right.
Well, long time.
Make sure.
I think that's Rick Molinterno from our area here, the owner of Standard Pike Company, was in Rad. I might be wrong on that.
Really?
I was really young. Hey, from, well, now they're in Rapid City, Illinois. Oh, okay. It's the headquarters, Standard Bike Company. I don't know anybody that works there, but I know some guys that were like factory riders for Standard.
Oh,
and
that's
shit.
Badass.
I'm working on getting some Standard parts for my frame I'm building, actually.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, going back, one of my best friends, Dakota, who lives in Columbus, Ohio now, his wife is from Louisville. And so that's when I first heard her say Louisville, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And I might even still be saying it wrong, but no, I tried to correct it to start saying it that way because I'm like, that's the way it's said. Because if you're from there, you say it, or from Kentucky in general.
Yeah.
That's how you say it. So if I'm up here, I'll say Louisville, whatever. But it's like, no, if I'm in Louisville, I'm in Louisville.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now we've got people like Jack Harlow that are starting to educate people on how to say Louisville the right way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
My godfather, he lives in Louisville. And speaking of which, I need to go get to see him. That was my dad's best friend.
Oh, yeah.
As well. So I saw him at the funeral, and I'm like, God, I was like, why is it that you start getting older, that's the only time you see people is at funerals, you know? I'm like, need to do a better job of that.
Yeah, for sure. But,
yeah, Louisville's a cool place. I like when they have the ATAs there because I have an attachment to Kentucky.
Is the next one going to be in Louisville?
I think all Indy. I think from here on.
No, I think the next one's in Louisville.
They have one more in Louisville?
Hang on, let me look it up. Doug, Jamie?
Jamie? Yeah. Dale?
I'm on it.
Go to ATA. We need to get Doug a laptop.
But, I mean, Indy's a better venue.
Indy's the best.
Louisville's a little trashy.
Yeah, it's kind of rough down there.
But 4th Street Live's, you know, pretty good time.
You
know,
but I'll tell you, the downtown in Louisville is really great.
Yeah.
What's the Guy Fieri's restaurant?
Yeah, that was
bomb. Oh, my.
2022.
I still remember the food that we got there.
2022
and how many, that's been, what, 3 years ago?
It's been 3 years.
Then it's indie from
I still
there
remember what we ordered.
Yep. I remember what I got, too.
Man, that was good.
The Guy Fieri restaurant in Louisville is...
Dude. Smacks.
It slaps.
Haymaker.
People hate on Guy Fieri. Fuck you if you do, because
it's amazing. I watched the last McGregor fight at a Guy Fieri's.
Dude, everybody that works at his restaurant Oklahoma loves their job, too.
Yeah. He is the mayor of Flavortown, man.
Yeah. No, my wife, she likes watching all those, like, foodie network type shows.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, all that fun kind of shit. Yeah. And so, anyways, I went to the Guy Fieri's in Choctaw Casino.
Where's that at?
In Oklahoma. Is it Durant, Oklahoma? I think it's Durant. That was a damn catfishing tournament.
Yeah. Catmasters.
Yeah, Catmasters.
The guy's
Catmasters
in this thing deeper than he's leading on.
Catmasters.
Fucking Catmasters.
Yep.
Was it excellent?
It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, the McGregor fight kind of sucked. I was...
Yeah, right.
Is dude getting a glass chin? Is it just me? Does it seem like he's getting a glass chin, or did he just get outclassed?
Fight game is short, son. That's what I think. But I'm still a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Still a fan.
Dude,
Guy Fieri, though.
Guy Fieri.
His career never die.
No, it was good food.
Hey, I've lived on forever.
I have a different perspective on him after eating there, man.
Oh, it blew my mind.
I'm a fan of his show. Like, he's kind of corny when you watch him, but you're like, nah, dude. No,
he knows
real,
his shit,
though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like how, you know, he's always, like, interviewing is it the Diners, Dives, Drives? Is that the one where he interviews
Diners and Drives or
the other chefs or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was watching, I'm like, oh, so he's just a host. And then he's like, oh, what is this? Some paprika with this special.
He's like, pointing out shit.
He breaks it down.
Yeah, I'm like, I actually.
He's pointing out wind direction and stuff.
Yeah, so I looked at my wife. I'm like, is he actually like a real chef or is he like a host chef, TV chef? She's like, no, he's like the real deal, you know.
Yeah.
Like he won a competition on one of those food networks and that's kind of how he got his name or got big.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I just know that everyone that worked at that restaurant was like super passionate about their job.
Yeah, no, they were super jacked. And I told one of the ladies, I was like, my wife and my oldest boy, they'll cook some random shit. Like, you know what I mean? Mm. And so I was like, I'd like to buy a couple of your all's like Guy Fieri novelty items or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, just give me two of those. And she's like, I threw four in the bag.
That's rad.
I'm like, no shit. I'm like, you guys are awesome.
Yeah. Did at the one in Oklahoma, did they know the menu by heart?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's how it was in Louisville. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah.
Never wrote anything down. I could have asked her like what heat was everything cooked at. She knew that shit.
Yeah.
Then you ask like what they recommend, and they'll recommend like, nah, you don't want that one.
Yeah.
You want
this
one. Yeah. If you're gonna do that, do it this way. You know? That's it was cool, man. 10 out of 10.
Put your big boy pants on.
Yeah, it was super cool. Yeah, I mean, sure. Dude's legit. Got good chain of restaurants.
Shout out to him.
But yeah,
Guy Fieri.
He's gonna listen to this.
My boy.
Yeah,
my dog.
My guy. Just so you know, Guy Fieri, there's not a corporate restaurant sponsor of the Working Class Boner
Should
podcast.
Should be though, dude. I'm telling you, them or the Engine House. Hit us up,
dude.
Engine House in Nebraska.
Can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take title sponsors for free.
I remember the one day we were on here and you're like, just so you know, Busch Light is not a sponsor, but if they give us a case of beer and $5, they're in.
Hey, dude.
It's not that hard to sponsor.
Meat Eater wants to buy this show for $3,500. Call it done. $3,500 is our price.
In a 30 pack.
In a 30 pack.
Peace.
It's taken 6 years to get that kind of money built up.
It's hard work. It's tough out here. I got to pay for a lease.
That's right. Lease prices keep going up.
Illinois is tough. Well, shit, man. I think that's we'll call her there at Guy Fieri and $3,500 sellout prices.
Someone's going to hit you up later.
Someone's be like, hey, final offer. It's like, hey, kiss my ass. It was a joke.
We're really talking about
3 hours in, man. Get
some more zeros.
Right. Yeah, I'll try a lot more money than you think, son.
Yeah.
Johnny, thank you, sir.
Dude, thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming in
here,
Johnny.
Guys.
It's always a pleasure having you back in the studio, man. Yeah, I appreciate your support and kind of backing us for everything we do. And 100%. If this helps you in any way for what you do, I'm very happy. Where can people find you quick for a close out?
Yeah, so Johnny Utah Hunt on Instagram and Arrowwild TV, Carbon TV, and YouTube. And be sure to check out Bourbon Barrel Calls with turkey season coming up. If anybody's looking for any commercial video photo work, design, product launch, product design type stuff, consultation, Johnny Utah Creative is the business for that. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do the Bourbon Barrel Calls? We're going to offer those up again this year?
Yeah. Yeah. They're still on the website, workingclassbowhunter.com.
Okay. So since you said that, just for listening to this podcast, we need to have some way of making an entry.
Okay.
I'll give one away.
Oh, you're going to do a giveaway?
Yeah, I'll give away.
WCB Bourbon Barrel Call.
Yeah, I'll give away a WCB free call.
Very cool.
To somebody. So
how about, what should we
do? I'll let you do it. You decide. Okay.
We'll talk after this. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. So somebody's going to win a free $105 call. Yeah.
Okay. And then one thing I do want to talk about, we're going to schedule a podcast here this week with you again.
Yeah.
A pre-hunt before your moose hunt.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because Chandler and Ross,
Roston,
are going on a moose hunt.
Yeah. When are you guys going?
September 10th.
Leaving. You can give me some tips.
Okay. When are you leaving?
December.
Oh, wow. Oh, so this is good.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Canada.
Where at?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan. So northern Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Cool.
So what we do, you guys go on your hunt because we have some pre, during, and post episodes to do. And then we do a pre-moose hunt with Johnny, with you guys, and then a post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all that.
So as long as borders are still open.
Right.
Yeah, that's the plan. But it's a combo moose, whitetail.
Oh, damn.
Whatever I draw blood on first is what I get. To
Very
tag.
Cool.
No shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. That'll be interesting. We'll figure something out for that. We got time.
Yeah.
We'll map something out for that.
Cool.
Cool. Thanks, Johnny.
Yes.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for having us.
All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.